Aaron. It's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Hey, what's going on? Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, people who know the truth. Good morning to you, people who know the truth. I love people who know the truth. Don't you, Mark Riley?
Wait a minute. I know one thing that's the truth.
What?
You got a windscreen and I don't.
Yeah, I'm sorry, buddy.
You went and stole that out of somebody else's room, didn't you?
Yeah, I went and took Randy Rhoads' mic condom.
Ooh.
It's just a little foamy thing. I don't even know if it does anything for the way you hear what's...
No. It doesn't make that much sense. It's just so, like, you don't leave a lot of spit on the mic.
And I don't think it's going to get too windy in here, Mark. Unless something really horrible happens, it's not going to get too windy.
Nah, do we have any horrible guests today? No, it'll be fine.
No, I meant horrible in terms of part of the building falling away. So it's you and I, you know, dangling here with our mics.
You know, I've had dreams about stuff like that happening, man. Don't scare me, all right?
Yeah, I need to address a couple emails because, you know me, man. My wife said to me last night, she's like, why does Larson let you go through the emails?
That's the question we've all been asking.
She goes,
Jonathan?
Why does he even let you do that? And I'm like, well, what do you mean? She goes, talent should not go through the emails. I'm like, I'm not talent. It's my show. And she's like, but it doesn't matter. You shouldn't be allowed. That's crazy. And I'm like, no, it's important that I read the emails because I want to know what people have to say and what they're thinking. So I can go through dozens and dozens of, you know, happy sort of...
Laudatory.
Yeah, wonderful.
You're a wonderful
emails,
thing.
And then, bam, my brain just gets... I just get hung up, man, on the one email that just, like slugs me in the stomach. And this wasn't even that big of a slug. I'm amazed at things that I can just drop off. You know, just little things that I say that, you know, that I'd say once. At 6 in the morning.
And people go berserk over it. They obsess over it.
They'll lock onto it.
Yeah.
You know, and then they'll be mean. You know, this is the one thing. There are two things that do this. You know, if I make fun of somebody's, you know, boutique cause or conspiracy theories, either one of those, bam, the people start, like, they come, man. The people, you know, it's like, you're screwing with my life's work, mister. But this one was a little devious because it took a little slug and then the truth of it comes out, you know. Miss Mark Maron, I know that you think your personality quirks are fascinating to the MS listeners. Now, right there, I'd just like to deconstruct that, if you would. It's got nothing to do with what I think is fascinating. Believe me, I am, like, I drive myself crazy. I find myself to be tedious. You know, believe me, there are days where I do that, but this is the life I'm living. As small as it may be, whatever's going on in my head is what it is. That's all. It's not a matter of me thinking anything's fascinating, but that's fine. I am, you know, relative. I can be fascinating in moments, but
well, wait a minute. I think your life is fascinating.
Oh, that's sweet. But here's the other one. You have overdone it.
Whoa!
The gavel comes down. Mister, this is one Morning Sedition listener that's had enough of you and your life and your little thinking. But then it sort of did. What once was funny is now purely self-centered drivel.
Drivel?
Have you ever listened to radio anywhere else? I mean, what exactly is coming out of that? What is coming out of the speaker exactly?
Profundity, really? Obviously.
What is coming out of any radio speaker at any given point in time, really? But that's not even the issue. That doesn't even hurt me. Here's where we get to the crux of the matter, Riley. Your opinions concerning which species are capable of feeling pain are disturbing. There, I think this is the gateway in to this person's life. You know, this is where I'm going to be made to pay. I think that you are too wrapped up in yourself to have empathy for lower life forms. Well, let me explain to you something. I'm not trying to justify myself, but you couldn't be more wrong, number one. I mean, if you listen to my self-centered drivel, you know I have a zoo at my house, number two. All right? You know, and if this is referring to a statement I made about fish and their feelings, then you've got problems. All right? The truth of the matter is that there are so many people that, you know, they say, hey, you don't feel, like, you don't have no empathy for animals. You don't have feelings for animals. This is the way that some certain types of people validate their contempt for other humans because of their own unresolved problems. If you're just, you know, if you're only capable of, you know, claiming that you have feelings for other animals and that's your cause in life, you know, maybe you should do some self-investigation because I'm willing to bet that you've got some unresolved core issues about your own treatment in the world and you're just using it to validate your own self-arrogance, your own self-centeredness, and your contempt for other people. I have, you know, there's sometimes I don't even kill bugs because I don't see a reason to. I live at home with many cockroaches that I let eat my food, and I've got four cats, and I don't kill them on purpose.
We also let eat your food.
But here's the funny thing. I was thinking about the fish. Like, I had some fish last night. I'm not going to stop eating fish. Whether fish have feelings or not, I'm not going to stop eating fish. And you know what? I feed my cats fish. I go to the fish store on the corner. I get some fresh spearing. You know what spearing are? They're these little 2 or 3 inch fish. They look like minnows. I'll give them to my cats, who I don't know. Like, I've never really asked my cats whether they feel bad about eating the fish because the fish have feelings, you self-centered person. When I see my little cats with a little fishtail hanging out of their mouth, it couldn't bring more joy to my little heart. Not because of, you know, I have any sort of malice towards the fish, but it just looks like that's the way life's supposed to be. Those cats.
If it was in the wild, they'd be doing the same thing. But see, I have feeling and empathy for all living things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel bad about cabbage and whether or not they feel pain when they're yanked down the ground. You see, because I got to figure, he or she said lower life forms.
Yeah.
That's kind of structuring things right there. What is a lower life form?
Exactly.
Are we an upper life form?
Can you hear the cabbage screaming?
Yes.
But that's an old sort of closed-minded argument against vegetarians that I've had before. And I got no problem with it. You know, if I had the fortitude, you know, the idea, it's like, what's next, man? Can't eat broccoli because it hurts the broccoli. You know, I get it. You know, and I am empathetic, and I'm glad that, you know, you found a way to live your life without...
Hurting anything.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
In life.
Except for the people that maybe you sort of have, disengaged from emotionally, or that you condescend to because you think your life is so much better than theirs, and that they aren't seeing the true path to peace and clarity. That's a bunch of horse crap. And, you know, also with the conspiracy stuff, you know, I guess we can get into that a little later, but I don't disregard any conspiracy theories, and I'm prone to them just like anybody else, but I'm willing to believe, and I believe this wholeheartedly, that the similarities between conspiracists, conspiratorial believers and thinkers, they're very similar to Christians when they get into a fanatic sort of state. That, you know, it doesn't matter what's true or what isn't true. It's the fact that they think they possess the only truth and that everybody else is missing out on that truth. So they will condescend and be hostile to people they don't think are getting the truth, because whatever reality the other people are living can't be more far from the truth. You know, first of all we do is talk about, you know, how the government lies and how we're being manipulated on this show. But whether or not you have a theory about what really happened during the JFK assassination and who was involved, I'm all for that. You know, I'm all for truth and I'm all for revelation. But what do you want to call yourself? What are we supposed to say? I know that some people take offense to the label conspiracy theorist, because that's how the right mocks, you know, investigative incentive on the left. That is not done through the mainstream media, so that it's a trivializing thing. Mm-hmm. I would like somebody to email me and tell me what you want to be called: freelance investigative reporters, obsessive compulsive,
you know what they're going to say,
gatherers of truth.
That's it. What? Searchers for truth.
Right.
That's what they're going to say they are. And that's cool.
Well, turn down the arrogance.
In America, you can have whatever kind of conspiracy theory in your head that you want. God bless the country. When it's all said and done, what are you going to do? If everything that every conspiracy theorist believes is absolutely true, then what?
Nothing is true. Everything is permitted. Hassan Isaba vis-a-vis William S. Burroughs. The thing is...
Was that English?
Yes.
Okay.
The perception, your context for perception and histrionics is completely relative to whatever your truth is. And even if you solve these things, what do we do now? And I'm perfectly willing to report any truth that comes down the line that's credible. I'm willing to do that. You know, I've done my own research. I've hit some walls with it. I've gotten into completely mystical realms that were unfounded. I was living in a comic book at one point in time. And I'm not sure I'm not living in one now, but if those of you are out there who know the truth, man, wake up. That's right. Tell me, wake me up. Do me a favor. It's 15 past the hour. We're going to talk about a real conspiracy when we come back after this on Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Lose 30 pounds in 30 days? Or how about eat whatever you want and still lose weight? Look, you and I both know that is not going to happen. I'm Dr. Greg Cinnamone, and I'd probably be the first to sign up for that magic pill that makes diet and exercise irrelevant. But until that day, I'm content to be one of 100,000-plus folks who haven't just ordered CortiSlim once. They've ordered CortiSlim again. So many people have found that CortiSlim is part of an absolutely brilliant lifestyle of managing daily stress. Why? Because stress leads to problems, like gaining weight. We believe that good health involves diet, exercise, supplementation, and Cortislim. And I want you to have Dr. Talbot's Total Sense program free with your order. Look, the holidays are here, and stress and overeating is a problem. This is your chance to step off that scale and into the Cortislim lifestyle. Call 1-800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN.
Until recently, men have had only two options to improve their performance in the bedroom. Take a prescription drug that works quickly but only lasts for a few hours, or take a natural supplement that can take up to 4 weeks to work. But now there's a new option. In a recent medically supervised anecdotal study, over 96% of the participants who took Proton Extreme reported an increase in libido and erectile strength. Each participant was given a one-week supply. Some of the younger men had a response in just a few hours, others in just a few days. Regardless of your age, if you want to boost your libido quickly and naturally, then take the Proton test yourself. Results are guaranteed.
Call now for your risk-free supply. 1-800-399-6763. That's 1-800-399-6763. 9 out of 10 men have success with Proton. Now it's your turn. Call 1-800-399-6763. Again, 1-800-399-6763.
College Rivalry Saturday heats up this weekend on Sirius Sports. The Gators take on the Seminoles for bragging rights in the state of Florida. The Buckeyes play host to Michigan. The Tigers and Crimson Tide rock Alabama. And Tennessee takes on Vanderbilt. When these teams get together, it ain't about the standings or the BCS. It's all about the pride. Hear all the action this Saturday on Sirius Sports. For game times and channels, go to Sirius.com or call 877-33-SIRIUS.
What do you do when your teenager is disrespectful to your spouse? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Your daughter says, "I hate you. You're the worst mom in the world." Or she lets a few choice words fly at your husband. What do you do? Well, you can just ignore it and let your spouse and child work it out. But what kind of message does that send to your child? They need to see a unified mom and dad. Parents who support each other with words and actions. If you don't like the way your spouse handled or treated your child, talk it out privately. Otherwise, send a clear, firm, and unified message to your child. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Are you in the car right now with your kids? Sounds like the perfect time to ask them about the drug ecstasy. Go on, ask them. You have time right now to ask them. Think there's a better time? Maybe when you can sit down and have the talk? Aren't you sitting right now? The time to have the talk is right now. Lock the doors if you have to, because they're sitting right there. Go on, ask your kids about ecstasy. Right now. If you don't do it now, do you think you ever will? Ask your kids about E right now. Then go to AskYourKidsAboutE.com.
Here's the 2-1. Swing and a long one!
Hi, I'm Barry Bonds for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. In my league, we hit home runs without a designated hitter. But if you want to get home safe, there should always be a designated driver. So when you're with someone who is drinking, please take their keys. Call a cab or drive them home yourself, because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Project Impact is a FEMA initiative that brings communities together to take actions that prepare for and protect against natural disasters before they happen. The concept of Project Impact is simple. We can accomplish more by working together than we can by working alone. For more information about how you can use Project Impact to build a disaster-resistant community, visit www.fema.gov.
My nomination of Dr. Condoleezza Rice to be America's Secretary of State. During the last 4 years, I've relied on her counsel.
There's only you in my life.
Benefited from her great experience,
the
strength, the grace.
I guess you could say it was love at first sight.
My
I'm very grateful to you, my dear friend and mentor.
I am very much looking forward to joining the fraternity.
And now I'm honored she's agreed to serve in my cabinet.
This is humbling.
I can't tell you how much I love Connie Rice.
He is one of the finest public servants our nation has ever produced.
I can't tell you how lucky I am. No one
else will. It was my honor to serve alongside him.
And when we come together.
Now, that's an image that I particularly like.
Connie's true ambition is beyond my power to grant. We have one future that binds us. And Connie Rice is the right person for that challenge.
Get a room. I'm sorry, Riley. We play that thing. Man.
I know.
Conspiracy, an agreement to perform together an illegal, wrongful, or subversive act. Two, a group of conspirators. Three, law, an agreement between two or more persons to commit a crime or accomplish a legal purpose through illegal action. Four, a joining or acting together as if by sinister design. That is what is going on right now in this administration. Right now, today, look at what's going on. Look at the news coming down the pike. The FDA, the USDA, the new tax laws, the EPA. I mean, these are all news items that are coming out right now, all right? EPA, okay, says seven chemicals are lesser evils. This is an administration that will pander to corporate interests over the interests of human beings always. Always.
Well, see, the EPA, and we should remember this is the same EPA that told New Yorkers in the wake of September 11, 2001, it's okay, the air is fine. And then, of course, it turned out it wasn't fine.
Dude, if you lived here, you know, as I did and you did, Riley, you knew that it wasn't okay.
That air was foul.
For weeks, man. It smelled like melting metal every day.
Every day. But the same agency. Now says, and see, this is why people shouldn't trust these agencies anymore. I don't.
They've all been bought out. They've sold out.
Yeah, now they're saying they're lowering these barriers to use seven chemicals that were previously considered toxic, smog-forming, or hazardous. And they're saying, well, these seven are better than some of the other ones that were being considered, so therefore we're doing a good thing.
And this is the same administration that in the last term allowed more sulfur dioxide into the air, more carbon monoxide into the air, cut the regulations on the amount of smog that came out of oil petroleum refineries.
Refused to believe for a half a minute that global warming was causing any kind of problems or that greenhouse gases and carbon monoxide were causing the global warming. Signed out of the Kyoto Accords, just stepped off.
The polar bears are going to be dead by the end of the century. And I don't mean that with any lightheartedness. They are my favorite animal.
Mm. Now, of course, you've got the FDA at the same time being accused by Republicans, no less, of taking a much, much less aggressive approach to regulation than they have in years past. For example, from 2001 to 2004, three drugs taken off the market compared with 10 that were recalled from 1996 to 2001. And, of course, one of those three is the arthritis drug Vioxx, which you can see on any television commercial after 8 o'clock in the morning.
Just think of the policy here. This is like a bottom-line policy. This is like, you know, the Ford Motor Company, you know, working into that well-known argument that, like, if there is a problem with a car that could possibly cause death or lawsuits, they will work that into their bottom line as to whether or not they will recall that car or not. Everybody saw Fight Club. Everyone's read these numbers before. I mean, that's one thing that's heinous and disturbing. This is the same kind of thing. I think that what's going to be found out with Merck, even though they said it went through the proper amount of testing, was they looked at it against their bottom line. What are the possibilities? And they didn't know it was going to be this bad, but this is bad. Like, some, what, 28,000 people had heart attacks or heart-related illnesses, blood clots, some of them, because they wanted their fingers to feel better? It's ridiculous. It's too big a price to pay.
Well, see, and and, you know, they've opened up and see, but there's always a political calculation to this. Because in the withdrawal of Vioxx, what do you get? You get lawyers on television advertising they can win you big money if you ever use Vioxx. And that fuels the Bush administration's push for tort reform. Saying, well, there are too many frivolous lawsuits going on. See how it all plays into itself? And the biggest picture here, Mark, if you step back away from all of this, is that George W. Bush is actually getting these federal agencies to bend over for people who contribute directly to his and other Republicans' campaigns.
Not to just people, but corporate interests.
Corporate interests, yeah.
They no longer provide the service they were put there to do for the people of this country to feel safe about meat, about medication, about the air they breathe, about the water they drink. I mean, talking, you know, with the air, the new EPA stuff, I mean, they know that the asthma rates are higher. There are more, you know, the poverty level is so is at a certain level. Uninsured is at a certain level. What do they expect people to do? Just adapt to grow gills and move back into the ocean? I don't even know. But, you know, it's not just one drug. I mean, this guy who from the FDA who came out and spoke.
Yeah.
David Graham.
He's in deep trouble, that one.
Hey, look, God bless this guy.
God bless him, too. But you know what happens when a federal person whistleblows. We've seen it over the last 4 years.
You know what? It's like I hope nothing horrible happens. I hope he doesn't die. He might be out of work, but obviously he was willing to take this risk. If we have more Democrats in the Congress and in the Senate who are willing to take risks like this guy, you know, maybe we could, you know, rest our dreams on somebody. We could rest our momentum on somebody, that somebody would, you know, make some changes, you know, in this particular government. But like this guy said, that Meridia, a weight loss drug, he said the agency should consider whether its benefits outweigh the risks of higher blood pressure and stroke among people taking it. And I'm assuming that if you said to somebody, dude, you're going to look great, but your heart might blow up at any time, or that vein in your head might explode and your eyes will fill with blood and you'll cough up blood and die, that they might be, you know, there'd be people that would be like, what are the odds of that? Because I would like to fit into my pants. But the truth of the matter is, I'm imagining that most people would not want to take that risk.
Well, you know, the other drugs that you, the Meridia, Crestor, which is an anti-cholesterol drug, Accutane, which is an acne drug that has been linked to birth defects, all of these drugs, David Graham, who is an FDA reviewer, said ought to be restricted.
That's a weird argument to the Accutane. Like, you know, like, well, if I have acne, who's ever going to have sex with me so I can have kids? So who cares if it causes birth defects?
That's, yeah, right?
If I have these pimples still, who's going to want to, then I'll never have kids. I don't know what to do. Tell me, Satan, what do I do?
This is the same stuff, actually, that Susan Jacoby was talking about. This ends up being a whole political thing within these different agencies and government, and we're going to have to be real, real vigilant, or nothing will be regulated in this country ever again. Oh, is that Raymond?
I don't know.
Boy, I don't know who that guy is. He's coming in with the Palm Pilot. We've got more on regulation. We've got Cashman's Rules. We've got the Dog of the Week and so much more here on Air America Radio.
You're listening to Morning's Edition on Air America Radio.
By now you've heard that Canadian prescription drug prices are up to 85% less expensive than they are in the U.S. Marge Burns heard and ordered her Zocor and saved $60 on a 90-day supply. Charlie Sumner heard and saved $35 on his Lipitor. If you are buying any prescription medication, it's time to call Advocare at 1-888-471-4721. AARP Magazine ranked Advocare one of the top pharmacies in Canada. In fact, the state government of Illinois has visited Advocare's facility and concluded that their procedures are exceeding the United States government's requirements. And now you too can save by calling Advocare at 1-888-471-4721. Or visit their website at pharmacyonthenet.com. Your medications are delivered right to your door, and you save up to 85%. It's so easy, and the money you will save is incredible. Don't pay higher prices just because you live in the U.S. Call 1-888-471-4721 or log on to pharmacyonthenet.com.
Remember last year when you bought your wife a vacuum cleaner for Christmas? And gave Uncle Ed that bag of candy?
Oh, gee, candy.
Not realizing he was allergic to peanuts. And then there was that rather inappropriate gift you gave your female boss.
You're fired.
Do it right this year and give the gift of Sirius. Everything for everyone for under $100. Available at Best Buy, Circuit City, Radio Shack, Office Depot, Walmart, or at Sirius.com.
This is Earth and Sky. In 1979, the manufacture of PCBs, or polychlorinated biphenyls, was banned in the U.S.
PCBs are good flame retardants, and they were mistakenly thought to be biologically inert.
But long after they've largely disappeared from plain view, these pollutants are still present in the sediment of some aquatic ecosystems. Tracy Collier of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration oversees studies of human impacts on the aquatic life of Puget Sound near Seattle.
So our laboratory does chemical analyses for PCBs in marine mammals nationally and internationally. We're focusing on trying to understand the fluxes or the pathways by which these contaminants are getting into the orca whales. Is there anything we can do about it? If we clean up contaminated sediments in Puget Sound, where the orcas live for a good part of the year, will that reduce contaminant loads into prey and therefore reduce the loads into orca whales? Or if these things are cycling through the ecosystem, is there anything constructive we can do at this point? And my personal belief is cleaning up and getting it out of there is always going to make a difference in the long run. It will always help.
Because the PCB pollutant builds up in the blubber of some whales, such as orcas, Collier says it'll be difficult to remove it completely from the ecosystem. With thanks to the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation, we're Blockin' Bird for Earth and Sky.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll?
I don't know.
Peace, love, and fireworks.
That's a good one.
When we're talking about people losing their lives over maybe starting by popping one pill in or shooting something into your body, it's like people don't even know the truth. They know what they're getting themselves into. Because your mind is worth so much more than this. Me personally, I wanted the truth. You know what I mean? I want to know what's going on. This has been Nate Sally with a message from MAP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Pure entertainment from coast to coast. Sirius.
Hello, this is Rod Stewart for RAD, Recording Artists Against Drunk Driving. Your lifestyle is your business, but when you drive drunk, you become everybody's business. Don't drink and drive. Be smart, plan ahead, and choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Sirius.
Drop off the kids, run by the bank, pick up dinner, save the air. It's amazing what a mom can accomplish in an afternoon. It's called trip chaining, or combining errands into one trip. It saves time and reduces traffic congestion and pollution, making our towns a better place to live. So keep it up, because it all adds up to cleaner air. Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the EPA.
Fight amongst itself. I think the press will get tougher. I think the left will get stronger.
Janine Garofalo and Sam Cedar.
I don't know that if Air America had started 4 years ago, if it would have made a difference. In 4 years from now, when we come to the next presidential election, we're going to have 3, 4, 5 times as many stations as we have now.
The Majority Report on Air America Radio.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Morning Sedition. It's Friday, thank... I'm not going to say thank God. That's so hacky. Thank goodness.
Oh, thank goodness. Okay.
Thank Thor. Thank reason. It's Friday. It was weird when we came in. Chris was blasting the Zeppelin, you know, before the show started, and I didn't even have the energy to play air guitar, so I kicked back and played a little air bass. I just said I'm gonna lay back and play some air bass. Yeah.
Fewer strings. Huh?
Yeah. So here we go. Clutch Larson's playing air tambourine, I believe.
Okay.
Booth. Yeah, that's even less energy. Or maybe some what's that weird instrument that goes. You know that one with the beads on it that you turn around like that? What's that called? That would take a little too much energy. Maybe
you make a lot of noise with those.
How about a little of it? Now our guy, Ramon is Ray Ray's. I don't know. I actually think that because of all he's done with his other job, he might be getting a cabinet post. But someone just came in. It was a woman wearing one of those Catholic school skirts that clearly was too old to be wearing that. But anyways, Here's President Bill Clinton's schedule. 6 a.m. Wake up in Arkansas next to Hillary. Does nothing change? 6:30 a.m. Breakfast. What I want. A plate of biscuits smothered in sausage gravy. What I'm having. Oatmeal and an apple. Note. Use this little detail in my next book to illustrate how difficult it was to overcome heart surgery. 7 a.m. Revised policy assessment vis-a-vis the rise of Islam in Southeast Asia and its potential economic impact on the Pacific Rim. Note. Don't spend too much time on this light stuff. I've got real work to do. 9 a.m. Visit library. Hang out in the impeachment wing and give every visitor my side. 12 noon. Lunch with Jimmy Carter, George Bush, Sr. and Jr. For fun, ask George W. to repeat all those nice things he said about me yesterday. People who don't write their own speeches are hilarious. 1 p.m. Sit on the porch in my t-shirt. 3 p.m. Watch all my children. Note, how can Jack ever trust Danielle after what she did with Reggie? People in love have such problems. 4 p.m. Drive around Little Rock High School listening to Skinner. Check out the talent. Swig from half-pint bottle of Southern Comfort. Look cool. 5 to 9 p.m. Hang out at barbershop to chat with the locals about politics. Note, assure them that I am not running for state legislator in 2006, but if I were, I would certainly be grateful for their support in 2006 when I'm not running. Probably. So let's get back into these stories about the real conspiracy in this country, you know, which is how this administration is selling out all of these agencies to corporate interests and they can't even be trusted anymore. That's what a statement from the FDA guy who, the whistleblower from David Graham said. What did he say?
He testified before the Senate Finance Committee yesterday, and he says that the nation is, quote, virtually defenseless, unquote, against a repeat of the kind of debacle that surrounded Vioxx.
Yeah.
Which is, for those of you who don't know, an arthritis drug that has some very, very serious side effects, like heart attacks, that its parent company, Merck, had to pull it off the market on September 30th.
And there's a series of drugs here. I guess we should put these out that are still sort of he's still in question as far as he's concerned. Meridia, it's a weight loss drug. Crestor, an anti-cholesterol drug. Accutane, an acne drug. Bextra, a painkiller. Graham said that drug poses the same heart attack and stroke risk as Vioxx. Cerevent, an asthma treatment. He said the drug was shown with 90% certainty in a long-term trial in England to cause deaths due to asthma. Well, you know, those are things to look out for.
And who names these drugs?
I don't know, but
they have the strange of Vioxx, Meridia, Crestor, yeah. Accutane. What is it? Who does this?
I just realized three of those are superheroes. I just realized that maybe those are the aliens. Maybe this is really how they're doing us in. That the guys that try, you know, the deep dark secret. You got CEOs of pharmaceutical companies, but then in a room there are just three or four aliens going Vioxx. You know, and that's all they can. You know, they don't know our language that well, but that's what it sounds like. Creator.
Mm-mm-mm. I mean,
Crestor,
the maker of Accutane.
I am Bextra.
Roche Holdings. Acknowledged
Sarah drug carries, King.
They acknowledged that the drug carries risks and said it's reserved for serious cases. They say it's beneficial as long as you use safely and appropriately. But, you know, Mark, people sometimes, I mean, I know that people who are on strict regimens really do follow, you know, the dosing that they're supposed to. But in a lot of cases, people don't always know what's safe.
Yeah.
People don't always know, well, you know, if I take an extra one here, or if I don't take one here, I'll take another one here. They really don't know.
But that's without the risks that are being spoken of here, just in general.
Just in general.
People kind of wing it.
Yeah, they wing it, and in winging it, see, they're saying if it's beneficial as long as it's used safely and appropriately. Well, you know, who's to say what an inappropriate use then becomes?
Soon I will turn to my planet Meridia, where everyone is thin. No, I think you're absolutely right. And the USDA is another, you know, organization, or what would you call it? The agency that was put into place to protect us, you know, from, you know, possible problems within the meat supply, the crop supply, the seed supply, the grain supply. And now they have completely sold out, but this has been going on a long time. They've sold out to the cattle industry, certainly, because there's a suspected another case of mad cow disease. And you can't get a straight answer from these people to say, save your lives, whether it is mad cow or it's not. There's testing still going on. Where did the cow come from? Is it, you know, this is like this is the cattle industry's biggest nightmare. So of course they're putting all of their money into making sure that these regulations, you know, cannot be too strict. It was not going to cost them a lot of money, and certainly doesn't reveal the truth about what's really going on in the meat supply in this country.
That's exactly what the beef and meat industry wanted to have happen. They got hit very hard before when the first instance of mad cow disease, which I believe was in Washington State, came out. So now they're ultra paranoid about any specificity about where this mad cow. The only thing the agricultural department will say is that it's not in the food supply.
You know,
but they won't say where it is. They won't say how many animals. They won't say anything else. And that is as a direct result of lobbying on the part of the meat industry.
Right.
They want people to keep their, they don't want anything specific known,
it's another,
because it's going to hurt them in the pocketbook.
It's another bottom line thing. Exactly.
Yep.
They're willing to take the hit for however many people get mad cow disease, because you know how these people think. It's short-term thinking. It's greed thinking. So they're thinking to themselves, hey, man, this thing has got, you know, it can be, what's it called, regressive.
Yeah.
For years. It can be in remission for 20 years. So, look, you know, I'm not, you know, who cares?
Yeah.
You know, let's try and keep the wraps on this thing, because you can't tell the difference between this disease and senility. You can't tell the difference between this disease and people dying of an aneurysm unless somebody does an autopsy. They're barely willing to do autopsies on their cows to find out if they have it. This is a big cover-up. And the way that these things work, this is the real conspiracy.
Yeah.
I mean, this is definitely a reason not to eat beef, that's for sure. Because if something is out there, you know, we all know just from human disease, no one person has the flu in a country. You know, no one person has AIDS in a country. It's just not the reality of how the viral world works.
Well, right now, the Agriculture Department is saying that it would be 4 to 7 days before anything else, other than there may be a second case, will be confirmed. Now, even that makes the livestock industry quiver, because they're afraid that people will simply stop buying, or that certain countries will deny U.S. beef entry, as the Japanese did during the first mad cow scare.
Oh yeah, it could be a crazy blow to the beef industry. Which I, you know, maybe if that's what it takes to make, you know, regulations work and to make it safe and to make it reliable. I don't know what's going to bring integrity back to these agencies in order to make people safe. Because what the hell is our barometer? You know, how do we trust? If we can't trust any of these things, we are just floating through a world of fear and panic. And you know, what do we do? I mean, you got to grow your own vegetables, buy organic, you know, do all those things that some people have been doing for a long time.
Yeah. You know, that's the funny part, Mark. You really get to a point where you don't have a lot of options. You have to go, you know, establishing a relationship with somebody that grows particular produce that you like, establish a relationship with a butcher like you do.
Yeah.
You know, you really kind of have to establish those personal and establish a trust. Because if you don't trust your government, you got to find somebody to trust in terms of the food that you eat.
And we certainly, there's no reason to trust this government. We are living in a true conspiracy. There's no doubt about that, because there's no telling, you know, what they'll do or how it all trickles down or how it's going to screw us. There's just no way to trust anybody, almost. And even the soil, my friend, even if you grow your own vegetables, you better make sure that, you know, whatever the toxin levels in the air there are, that is, you know, in the environment you're growing and what kind of crap they've allowed into the air. Man, this is where I've just driven us into a ditch.
No, you haven't. These people think that we are over-regulated, Mark Maron. That's what their goal is, to pull back on these regulations in any area, food and drug, meat, health, whatever it is, they want to pull back.
It's a free-for-all, a slippery slope to the end of the world. We're just going to suffocate and drown one day. But as long as we can have a hamburger. We're going to be back with Pashman, Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman, in a thing we're going to call Pashman's Rules. We've decided to engage Dan in the philosophy of life. And, of course, Mark Riley's Dog of the Week. It's 44 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Check out all our favorite links, our latest blog entries, and our new line of merchandise at morningsedition.com.
Planet Check.
Roland Wong, Vehicles Policy Director for the NRDC, has good news.
September 24th, the Air Resources Board adopted the world's first mandatory global warming pollution standards for cars and trucks.
No place in the world has these standards. Global warming is one of the most challenging eco problems.
And we cannot solve this problem without the United States taking action, cutting pollution from tailpipes and smokestacks.
California, once again, is leading the way.
California pollution standards on vehicles typically specifically for the last four decades have been adopted nationwide.
If all goes well, the standards will begin in 2009.
And be phased in over an eight-year period until 2016, requiring about a 30% cut in global warming pollution from tailpipes.
Learn more at nrdc.org. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
Are you losing your hair? Is that bald spot getting bigger? Is your hair looking thinner? Why aren't you using Avacor, the hair growth treatment that has helped thousands of people just like you regrow their hair?
I am 39 years old. I've been slowly balding over the last 10 years. Thanks to Avacor, my hair is coming back and I couldn't be more excited.
The best product that I've tried.
Avacor is the product of the 21st century.
If you're losing your hair and haven't tried Avacor yet, how about a free month supply? We're giving away a free month of Avacor with all of today's orders. Avacor is proven to successfully stop hair loss and regrow hair.
Call 800-344-0089 for your risk-free trial of Avacor. Call now, 800-344-0089. That's 800-344-0089. And remember, all of today's orders will receive an additional month's supply of Avacor absolutely free. Call 800-344-0089.
It's Sunday Morning Rocks on Sirius Central 148 with your hosts, rockin' comedian Jim Brewer at 6 a.m. Rock and roll author Dave Marsh at 10. And Rolling Stone on Sirius, midday. Sunday's Rock and Roll on Sirius Central 148.
How do you teach conversation skills to a toddler? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Start by kneeling down and making eye contact with your young child. Limit the amount of words you use and keep the message simple. Allow your toddler enough time to respond to what you've just said. Keep in mind that during these early years, you're teaching far more than word recognition. You're actually modeling for your toddler proper ways to communicate with future teachers, peers, employers, and perhaps their own family one day. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Hello, this is Mandy Patinkin for Choice Magazine Listening, a free service of the nonprofit Lucerna Fund. If you cannot read because of blindness or other impairment, we'll send you selections from leading magazines on special speed cassettes. So for 8 hours of memorable writing every other month, completely free of charge, call 516-883-8280 or write Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. That's 516-883-8280.
Son, I want you to listen very carefully. Now, if you're ever at a party and someone asks you if you'd like to shove a stick of dynamite up your rear end, don't do it. Dynamite is very, very dangerous.
Got it, Dad.
It'd be nice if teenagers thought that using the drug ecstasy was as dangerous as, say, sticking dynamite up their rear ends. And that it can cause panic attacks, severe depression, kidney failure, heart failure, seizures, even death. To learn more from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America, visit AskYourKidsAboutE.com.
When it comes to food safety, experts stress that cold temperatures will keep harmful bacteria from growing or multiplying on food. Remember the two-hour rule. Refrigerate or freeze perishables as soon as possible. And don't let food sit out at room temperature for more than 2 hours. Refrigerating foods quickly is one way you can give bacteria the cold shoulder. Brought to you by the Partnership for Food Safety Education.
Polymeria.
Past the hour, it's Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley.
Yes.
Kayla's on the board. T.W. McDonald in the booth with Clutch Larson. Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman, on deck, swinging the bat, playing with his helmet.
Yep.
adjusting his crotch, spitting tobacco. Thank Odin, it's Friday. Because every Friday, as you know, we do what we like to call here... Mark Riley, Dog of the Week. What do you got, Mark?
This week has seen more than its share of dogs. Our president named a bunch of toadies to cabinet posts, but I suppose we should have expected that. Monday Night Football created a firestorm with the Terrell Owens, Nicole Sheridan introduction. ABC managed to get an entire week's worth of publicity out of a one-minute clip. Still, they both lose out to a dog of monumental proportions. His name is Derek Mosley, and he's a self-described community activist. You spell that H-U-S-T-L-E-R. Activist. Mosley allegedly managed to procure a couple of videotapes for himself. Those tapes reportedly showed the wife of New York Yankee slugger Gary Sheffield in a threesome with another woman and videotape happy singer R. Kelly.
Yeah.
Mosley called Sheffield's agent and suggested the tapes would go away if he was hired to counsel Gary Sheffield's wife. Hired to the tune of $20,000.
Nice.
To make a long story short, Sheffield wouldn't bite. The FBI was called in, and Derek Mosley stands charged with attempting to defraud and extort money. And this isn't the first time he's run afoul of the law. He copped a plea to bank fraud back in 99. So, Derek Mosley, you who give community activism a bad name, you're hands down our morning sedition dog of the week.
Yes. R. Kelly available for video.
Yes.
Yeah.
But only if you're a woman.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that whole, wait. You know what? Listen, many of you probably have begun planning your weekends, and we here at Morning Sedition want to help, because we like to help. Now in the studio is a man known to spend an inordinate amount of time pondering subjects both large and small, so much so that we have decided it constitutes a philosophy. Yes, folks, a philosophy, which we like to call Pashman's Guide to Life. So please, welcome our editorial producer, Dan Pashman.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
All right. What's up, Pashman?
Yeah, well, we're calling this Pashman's Guide to Life, I guess, and... Yeah. You know, I'm pretty excited. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about stuff, and, you know, I'm just pleased to be able to share.
We know that. You're not even doing it justice. The way Pashman works is, like, you could be just like, you know, you could be eating some yogurt, and he's like, oh, dude, if you're going to use a spoon, you know, maybe you ought to think about holding it between those two fingers. I mean, you're like,
you could get way more torque out of that spoon.
But any little thing, you present it in such a way that it sounds like, you actually spent an afternoon working it out on paper.
An afternoon is probably a short amount of time.
Right. Well, so what do we got to tell the people for this week?
I'm an avid concert goer, and I know with the weekend coming up, a lot of people like to go out and see some live music.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to give some tips on when you're going to a live music show at any kind of club or event where it's general admission, where you don't have an assigned seat.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of research in this area, and I found that crowds tend to, you know, they enter a venue from the entrance. Usually it's the back of the club.
Whoa, back up. Let me write that down.
They enter the venue from the entrance.
From entrance.
Write that down.
Baby steps.
Okay.
So, and they never go to the far end. They just crowd by the entrance, or they go straight in a straight line to the stage from the entrance. For example,
okay,
the House of Blues in Chicago, you enter it from the back right.
Okay.
And it's always much more crowded on the whole right side of the venue, all the way up to the front of the stage. If you go to the front of the stage to the far left,
right,
a lot more room, easy access to the bar as well.
Oh, I get it. I see. So you think this will work across the board with any concert venue?
I observed the same phenomenon at the Steve Earle concert in Webster Hall, where the entrance is in the back left a couple weeks ago, and in the front right.
Right.
A lot of space there, right up to the front without a crowd.
Does this have something to do, Dan, with the people who don't want to act like they're interested in the opening act and they leave a good part of the hall empty until that last moment?
It could. And maybe some other time I'll talk about how you can take advantage of those people, because I have, you know, some research I've done.
Take advantage?
Well, you know,
who knows? We might even have time at the end of this.
But, well,
wait a minute. Did you just say take advantage, Mark Riley?
Yeah.
And I forgot to go to Rileytown?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Take good and full advantage.
Right,
sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your train of thought.
No,
do you remember what you're talking about?
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
If you so basically, people are kind of lazy. They go to the closest point, and if you're willing to work a lot harder, you'll get a better spot. Now, that all that being said, there are two important exceptions to this rule.
Okay.
First is when you're going to see Bob Dylan, you always want to be stage left.
The old Jew, as I like to call him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Bobby Zimmerman.
Yeah, Bobby Zimmerman.
And he likes to turn, he always plays turned about 45 degrees to his right. He's always turned sideways. So if you go stage left, he'll be playing right to you.
Okay.
Interesting. But, then, you know, he's been spending a lot of time playing the keyboard lately, which is, as I recall, is a stage right. So he'd be looking out stage left.
It depends on which way the keyboard's pointing.
Okay, all right. So but this, I'm just pointing
which
out
way
that.
The keyboard's pointing?
I'm just pointing out a possible exception.
Right, right. The other thing is...
Oh, we dismissed the exception. We're just moving on.
Well, it depends on which way the keyboard is.
Okay, all right, all right.
Case by case scenario.
Okay, all right. I'm sorry.
The other thing is...
That was scary. I just infiltrated Dan's OCD, and there's a moment of like, shut up, Mary. I'm trying to do something. All right, go ahead.
Error. The other, Soul Live, who I'm going to see at Irving Plaza here in New York next Wednesday night, one of my favorite bands, a jazz funk trio.
Uh-huh.
With them, you always want to be stage right because the Hammond B3 organist, Neil Evans, is always in the right, and people just are always more into it, dancing, getting funky by Neil because he's just so awesome.
Okay.
So Soul Live, stage right. Dylan, stage left. Otherwise, go the long distance from the entrance.
What we can extrapolate for people that may not like Bob Dylan or for people that don't know who Soul Live is, like myself, okay, is that if you like a particular performer within the group you're seeing, maybe you should stand by them so you could feel a little more excited about the concert.
Sure.
Okay.
Stand near the performer you like?
Yeah.
Brilliant!
Yeah.
But in most situations, you just want to go to the farthest point away from the entrance,
right,
towards the front of the stage, so less crowded there.
I think we got a second to maybe cover how you take advantage of those people that are sort of waiting around for the opening band to finish.
There's a few key moments right when the opening band ends.
Yeah.
Right after the opening band ends, where people walk away from the stage to go get a drink or go to the bathroom. And it's before the people who've been staying back go forward.
Right.
And if you can move forward in those key few moments while the crowd is moving back and going to get a drink, you can go right to the front of the stage, my friend.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm assuming that generally you go by yourself to concerts because it takes so much thinking and strategizing. Dan, you'll be back next week to address Wednesday,
we have some big Thanksgiving tips for all the people out there.
Tremendous. Wow. That's going to be very helpful. You know what I mean? Because I'm sure that you have some important stuff about potatoes.
You'd be surprised how little people know about eating turkey.
How much free time you have.
I don't know. I've learned a lot about this now.
Oh, wait. Whoa. What is that? Oh, yeah. It's a liberal agenda. Here it comes to the fax machine. All right. From the Streisand compound. Here are your marching orders for today. One, protest Kmart-Sears merger. We don't know why yet. It just seems wrong. Two, derive smug pleasure from the blank stares of your uninformed friends as you talk at length about the crisis in the Ivory Coast. Three, take a group of school kids to see National Treasure and then talk to them afterwards about the dangers of Freemasonry. Oh, that's that movie that... that's this weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's where I'm going to go learn. Four, visit the Clinton Library in the Oval Office replica. Find the exact spot where Bill and Monica killed the Democratic Party. Five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. First, ODB dies and then Bush makes Condi Secretary of State. Connect the dots, people. Do I have to do everything, man?
Lord. Whoa!
Don't worry about it, man. My dad did some movie reviews that he doesn't know about.
That's right.
We're going to hear that in the next hour.
We're going to hear that. We're also going to be talking to one of our favorite guests, Ron Suskind.
Yes.
He is, of course, the author, best-selling author of The Price of Loyalty. He'll be with us. And we got a whole lot more, including a rock version of the nation and the Morning Tradition Business Report here on Air America Radio.
Here's a safety tip we can all live with. Children should ride in the rear seat whenever possible and should always be buckled up, especially if your car has airbags. Remember, never place a rear-facing child's safety seat in the passenger seat if you have an airbag. Patterns set early become patterns for life. Set them early. It's a safety tip we can all live with. Brought to you by the National Safety Belt Coalition.
Black people, a stroke doesn't care about your money or status. Know that it could be a stroke if suddenly you have problems speaking or seeing. Maybe one side gets numb or weak. If any of these occur, act immediately. Call 911. This is Kelly Price.
Blacks have a higher occurrence of stroke. Why is that? Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org. Time lost is brain lost. A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Ben.
I am the Edison Boulevard. To delight those who would have melody on.
Now, Sirius Satellite Fresh. It's on.
Yo.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. If you're a resident around the Washington, D.C. area and your source of water is from the local tap, you may want to think twice about what you're drinking, or as the old joke goes, who are you drinking? A refined test of the water in the Washington Aqueduct has revealed the presence of perchlorate, described as a toxic chemical typically found in weapons and explosives. This according to federal officials yesterday. The discovery of the chemical in the water supply challenges the prevailing theory of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and that is the contamination as a result of buried World War I munitions in the Spring Valley neighborhood to the north and poses no threat to the environment. An official of the Washington Aqueduct is calling for a weekly examination of the water and is recommending that the Corps accelerate its search for the source of the contaminant. Washington water story is a particular concern right now since it comes at a time when influential Republican senators are trying to attach several industry-friendly measures to a massive bill to fund much of the federal government. One measure would exempt large livestock and dairy farms from some environmental laws. Another would provide billions of dollars for the Army Corps of Engineers water projects. And a third would have excused pesticide users from the Endangered Species Act rules, but that was stripped from the measure because it was deemed too controversial. There's another sign that the environment is not a priority to the president's second term. EPA has announced that it is lowering regulatory barriers to encourage broader commercial use of seven chemicals, that is, that previously were considered toxic, smog-forming, or hazardous. Senior environmental scientist Terry Keating said the actions of the EPA creates incentives for industry to move away from the use of highly reactive solvents, ozone-depleting chemicals, and other more harmful compounds. The government officials have concluded that the health risks associated with the chemicals were less than previously thought. Stay tuned on that one. At least five medications now sold to consumers pose such threats that their sales should be limited or stopped, said a government drug reviewer who raised safety questions early about the arthritis drug Vioxx. In testimony Thursday before the Senate Finance Committee, Food and Drug Administration reviewer David Graham cited Meridia, Crestor, Accutane, Bextra, and Cerevent. Drug makers defended the use and safety of the products. Graham contended the country is virtually defenseless against a repeat of Vioxx debacle. Dr. Stephen Galson of the FDA rejected that comment as having no basis in fact. And one-time presidential candidate John Kerry has responded to friendly fire and will give up a substantial portion of excess campaign cash to help elect Democratic candidates in 2005 and 2006. Party leaders, including some of Kerry's top campaign aides, said they were surprised and at the same time angry that more than $15 million in accounts from the Democratic primaries had been left over. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne.
Welcome home, Greg.
Ah, who are you?
I'm Maxim. Sit. Relax.
Thanks.
ESPN, your Steelers won last night.
How'd you get in? Stop.
I thought
Stop
you'd
it.
Like that.
Stop it.
Oh, Jimmy called.
You're answering my phone?
The boys are all going to Miami for some fun. I'll get you a list of the best bars.
What? Cool.
And I've got some jokes that'll make you a babe magnet.
Hey, whoa.
Girls, comedy, sports, music coming soon. Maxim Radio, Sirius 145.
Hello, everybody. I'm Tony Cantilli, your fresh grocer. Today's tip of the day is going to be on broccoli. Your staple vegetable, the broccoli. Ex-President Bush didn't like broccoli, but broccoli sales anyway went through the roof. And to this day, the broccoli sales are at an all-time high, mainly because of the flavor and the nutritional value. 240% of the vitamin C we need for the day and other vitamins and minerals that our body needs. Broccoli is fantastic for you, but you got to select the right. You want to make sure that the stalk part of the broccoli is fairly small. If it's thick, you shave off the top and you can make broccoli slaw. Then what you want to do in the crown of the broccoli, you want to make sure it's nice and green. Now, they could have a little bit of purple tinge to them, that's okay, but make sure there's no yellowing. Otherwise, it's just going to turn bad in the refrigerator. When you bring them home in the refrigerator, open up the bag and enjoy them for 3 to 4 days. And I'm Tony Cantillo, your fresh grocer. For great recipes on broccoli, go to TonyCantillo.com. Hello, I'm Tony Cantillo. You know, sometimes information on nutrition and health can seem overwhelming. That's why there's the Dole Nutrition News. Twice a month, this electronic newsletter will bring you the very latest in diet and nutrition research, plus recipes, fitness tips, and natural beauty ideas. Best of all, it's absolutely free. How do you get all this information? Simply just go to www.dolenutrition.com. To sign up, it's free, it's easy, and it's loaded with news that you can use to lose weight and look great. Again, that's www.dolenutrition.com.
I heard about this company dumping toxins in local rivers, and I called their executives to say stop. But I never got through to anyone except secretary after secretary. In the meantime, the rivers are being destroyed, birds and fish are dying, and the local kids are getting sick with cancer. So I organized a huge protest, and we actually got the company shut down. And everyone starts celebrating until we realize that half the town's now unemployed. The welfare offices can barely handle the overload. People are being kicked out of their homes. And to top it all off, the rivers are still contaminated. The birds and fish are still dying. And most of the kids with cancer are twice as sick because they can't get the health care they need since their parents lost the health insurance they had when they worked for the company that dumped all the toxins in the first place.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Mark Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning's Edition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, knowers of the truth. Good morning to you, Mark Riley.
Good morning.
2012, Bono versus Schwarzenegger. That's the ticket.
2012, huh?
Isn't that right?
Wow.
Is that Bono versus Schwarzenegger?
Was Bono born in the United States?
No.
No, so they both have to get a waiver.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Wow.
That's going to open the doors. There's
two foreign guys?
Yeah, Bono and Obama. That's the ticket.
Bono-Bama.
Bono-Bama?
Yeah, that'll work.
We have Pashman's rules on Pashman's philosophy of life, Pashman's guide to life, whatever we just called it, but we just got an email. And I guess, like, I was listening to Dan, but I think this email confirms what he was saying. I saw Dylan about 2 weeks ago, and he sets his keyboard up stage right, so you would want to be standing at the left side of the stage to see Bob, unless you have a passion for bouzouki and cittern, in case you would want to be standing on the right side to watch Larry Campbell. If you're a drummer, anywhere is probably okay. Thank you for that email. And also, I know that conspiracy theorists and lovers of fish have been having some problem with me. I talked about that in the 6 o'clock. I don't know if I'm going to talk about it right now. But, you know, I do know that conspiracy theories are as, you know, it can be as dogmatic as a religion in terms of what a conspiracist believes is the truth. And when I talk about conspiracies, I don't undermine them. I believe that many of them could be true. I'm willing for them to be true. If I see the facts, I just can't get involved in the mystical ruminations and the fragmented calculations of distorting truth and facts in order to fit a conspiracy theory. Because I've noticed just from emails after we talked about 9/11 yesterday, and I, you know, vaguely mentioned JFK, you know, God forbid, you know, I've spent my time with that conspiracy theory or that theory of truth, whatever path you're on. I just want you to know that if you're a fanatic conspiracist, you should just admit that your religion is conspiratorialism, and that's what you believe is true. And even if it was given to you, if somebody presented you with something that was guaranteed to be true, you wouldn't know the difference whether it was true or not, and you would argue about it over something as mundane as, like, that couldn't be possible because they found a cigarette butt from a guy who had that different kind of shoe on. So that sort of just realize that, you know, you're falling victim to a dogmatic system of thinking that is not unlike Christianity. I believe that to be true.
I believe it to be true also, but I also hope that every conspiracy comes true.
Well, that's what's supposed to happen, you know, in the end times. That all will become manifest, you know, and the Dark Prince will arrive. I mean, that's what we were talking about. Kayla, what's the name of that movie with Nicolas Cage?
National Treasure.
National Treasure.
When I saw that coming out, I'm like, oh, my God, what are the diehards going to think of this? You know, I can't even imagine what this is going to do for legitimate conspiracy theorists, for conspiracists who are part of the religion of this conspiratorialism. Is that like, I was real hung up with the whole Illuminati conspiracy.
What this is about?
I read the Illuminatus trilogy. I read some stuff on Freemasonry. I read some stuff on the Rosicrucians. I read some stuff on the all the different elements of. There's theories that even say that George Washington might not even be George Washington. That it was a Freemason leader called Adam Weishaupt. There's a million things. Some of it's escaping me. But
you didn't change his name to George Washington the advice of his agent or something?
Dude, there's a painting of George Washington in a Masonic apron doing a ritual. You know, these, you know, they're...
What kind of ritual? This sounds kinky. I don't know. George Washington in an apron, man. What's going on here?
You're right. It might have been kinky, but it was definitely a Freemason ritual. And there's also, you know, elements of the skull and bones. Ben Franklin, who was a part of this Masonic lodge in Britain, the Hellfire Masons were supposedly really out there. Apparently, one of the revolutions, either the American Revolution or the French Revolution, was planned in a Freemason lodge. Like these were, there's different degrees of masonry. There was a Masonic ritual performed on the moon by one of the first, I think, I don't know if it was Alan Shepard. See, I know there are people out there that know this, so if you want to correct me, because I'm certainly I don't know this stuff, because I can't, and there was a period where I got, really hung up on it, and literally, I was living in a comic book, because there's nothing wrong with being suspicious of all power struggles, but you can't walk around, if you just, I used to walk around the Comedy Store and be like, I know what's going on here, that this building is built over a gate to hell, it's just nobody knows about it, I was in what? Jonathan asked me what comic book. Of course, what comic book were you living in? Clutch Larson.
Whoa.
Hellblazer. I was John Constantine, or at least in definitely spiritually akin to John Constantine. I could see it's like the Matrix almost. I could see signs and symbols and everything. One time I got hung up at the GE building. The GE building, old building, the General Electric building? It's got all these weird, sort of gargoyles in it, but it's also got this symbol. It's got a fist. The fist is holding lightning bolts facing upward. And I'm like, GE knew, man. They knew. They harnessed the power of the gods. They're part of the dark conspiracy. They are part of the rulers of our minds and hearts. They know what's going on. And it turns out to be true. I'm not kidding around. Symbols are very powerful.
So I assume you're boycotting NBC.
It's not a matter of boycotting. It's I can be a seer of truth in those fragments that come through, and go.
But
like,
what do you do about it? Now, that GE owns NBC.
Don't you understand?
If you think that they're the god of darkness and the lord of whatever, then you got to do something.
No, what you do is you walk around saying, I know the secret truth. You people are stupid.
Oh, okay. I understand.
You surrender to the fact that there's very little you can do but be a seer and know the secret truth. And when people talk to you about things, you go, oh, okay, that's what you think? Well, that's very quaint and interesting. I wish I had time to explain to you what was really going on.
Oh. My dad was a Mason, and I could never figure out.
Wow.
Yeah.
But was he a 33rd degree?
I don't know. He could have been a Perry Mason for all I know, because he never ever took me to the Masonic Lodge. I never got anywhere near this whole thing. I assume it was by design. He did whatever it was he was into, he didn't want his kids into.
All right, now I get something. Now I'm starting to understand something, Riley.
Well, you're
part of it, man.
Yeah, I may be.
Part of it.
I am part of it. But here's a question for you. How come they were so rigidly segregated for so long?
What do you mean? The Masons?
The Masons, yeah. If they're so great, how come they were segregated?
No one said they were great. Well, they were segregated.
They said they were great.
There's weird master, they're the master builders.
The grand high exalted mystic ruler. Yeah, I've heard about it.
Almost anyone who's ever said that, has been racist.
What?
That I'm the grand high master exalted ruler.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I mean. But see, they did have, and see, the thing is, they have these poobahs, and I shouldn't say all this, but I mean, one time after my dad died, I actually went to the Masonic Lodge in Harlem.
Man.
There's one on 150th Street. And I went in there, and it's like the place was like a tomb. It was very, very strange.
Dude, I performed at the Masonic the Auditorium in San Francisco the year that I lost the comedy competition. I came in second, and it was the final night of the competition was at the Masonic Lodge, and I was in the midst of my complete, unfounded mystical paranoia. And when I lost, when I drove my car into the parking lot of the Masonic Auditorium, I said to the guy, the attendant, I'm like, "What's up with the $1 bill, man? What's up with the pyramid?" Hey, you know what? Let's take some calls about this stuff. If you're not going to be too crazy and hurtful.
Yeah, please.
It's 14 past the hour, Air America Radio. The number is 866-303-2270. Give us your experiences with conspiracy realities. I'm not going to call them theories anymore because I don't want to, offend the conspiracists who are members of the religion of conspiratorialism. 14 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Morning sedition. We can't do it without you. Call us at 866-303-2270. That's 866-303-2270. Right here on Air America Radio.
I know everything. Languages? Yes. Boiling points? Celsius and Fahrenheit? Yes. World capitals? Please. So, not too long ago, I tried to get a refi, and it got turned down. And this is the best part. The loan officer says to me, sir, do you know what your credit score is? So, I looked at her and said, tell me, do you know what the population of Liechtenstein is? Huh? Do you? She didn't.
Get in the know. Check out ScorePower from Equifax. You'll get your credit report, credit score, and you'll learn how your credit decisions can affect your score, all for only $14.95. And knowing that is how you get the credit you deserve. So check out ScorePower at Equifax.com or call 1-877-4-EQUIFAX. That's EQUIFAX. Equifax.
Well, now I have my credit score up to 760, the same number of days it took Frenchman Michel Lapointe to circle the globe on a bike. Yeah, I'll bet you didn't know that.
Get the power, score power at Equifax.com.
How would you like a customized plan to remove all credit, debt, and financial worries from your life for good? How would you like $50,000 to $1 million in corporate credit? Live the American dream. Be like tens of thousands of others who've discovered the Ray Reynolds blueprint for success. By plugging into the Ray Reynolds program, these people learned how to use corporate credit to buy real estate, minimize taxes, buy almost anything at below wholesale prices, create a new credit file, get the money to start a business, and how to protect their new assets. They learned how to use Ray Reynolds blueprint for success to remove all credit, debt, and financial worries from their lives forever, and you can too. Call 800-924-4977 right now and get plugged into the Ray Reynolds Blueprint for Success. Ask about a custom plan designed to help you reach your personal goals. The Ray Reynolds Program gives you what you need to get from $50,000 to $1 million in corporate credit. Build the future of your dreams. Call today, 800-924-4977, and get your blueprint for success. Save on 04 taxes and incorporate before year end. That's 800-924-4977. 800-924-4977.
Remember last year when you bought your wife a vacuum cleaner for Christmas? And gave Uncle Ed that bag of candy?
Oh, gee, candy.
Not realizing he's allergic to peanuts. And then there was that rather inappropriate gift you gave your female boss.
You're fired.
Do it right this year and give the gift of Sirius. Everything for everyone for under $100. Available at Best Buy, Circuit City, Radio Shack, Office Depot, Walmart, or at Sirius.com.
What do you do when your teenager is disrespectful to your spouse? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Your daughter says, I hate you. You're the worst mom in the world. Or she lets a few choice words fly at your husband. What do you do? Well, you can just ignore it and let your spouse and child work it out. But what kind of message does that send to your child? They need to see a unified mom and dad. Parents who support each other with words and actions. If you don't like the way your spouse handled or treated your child, talk it out privately. Otherwise, send a clear, firm, and unified message to your child. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
In today's world, all voices must be heard. That's why our local Optimist Club sponsors an oratorical contest for local young people. The contest lets kids gain experience in public speaking.
If I could change the world.
It inspires today's youth to motivate and inform others through the art of public speaking. And it gives them an opportunity to compete for college scholarships. The Optimist Oratorical Contest.
You can make a difference too.
Bringing out the best in kids.
Stuart, how are those hedges coming, little man?
Dad!
Sorry, you're not little. You're 5. Man, you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get him, killer! Ah, that's the battle cry of the lawn warrior. Now, steady the blade! Where are those hedges?
Dad!
Think of the trimmer as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from
the cat.
The cat. Oh, and the neighbor's new car.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Dad, make it stop.
Come back here. You can do the neighbor's shrubs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
People want to believe. They want to believe. Phone banks are filling up. 866-303-2270. We're talking about conspiracy theories. Not theories. Conspiracies. Future truths. The realities. The secret truths. It's 20 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Rowe. You're listening to Air America Radio. It's Morning's Edition here now. Fresh from my brain last night is my dream diary. I'm at a four-star restaurant with my dead cat, Butch. I can't believe how much food she's ordered. Beef Wellington and foie gras, tartare and lobsters and pheasant and sauces and souffles, all for a little 10-pound cat. And she's just sitting there stuffing it into her mouth as fast as she can. I say, do you know how many calories are on this table? I need that guy from A Beautiful Mind to figure it out. Butch says, if your mind were truly beautiful, you would not be turning this magnificent feast into numbers. I say, maybe you're not afraid of getting fat, but I am. Butch belches loudly and says, your head is already fat, Mark Maron. Your body is begging to join it. Have a crab puff and give your rules the day off. I say, don't you feel indulgent and decadent? What about all the starving people in Africa? Butch cracks open a lobster claw and says, tell them if they come in and sit down, surely they would not ruin a meal with their tedious liver of guilt. I say, hey, look, I'm not the one with the problem here. Look at yourself. Butch farts and says, You would drink of life from an eyedropper. I use a bucket, my friend. I let life spill all over your necktie and your fashionable slacks and drench your underpants. If I were not so bloated and gassy, I would gladly make filthy love on the table right now. The pleasure train is passing you by, Mark Maron. I say, I know you're right on some level. I just can't live that way. Butch holds out a fork and says, Mark Maron, I am about to change your life. Eat this mushroom. I say, no, Butch, I'm not hungry. I've been saying that for an hour. She whips out a sharpened claw and holds it under my chin. Eat it, or I will smash you open like a piñata and eat your intestines like linguine. So I eat the mushroom. It's delicious. And then a minute later, all the food on the table got up and started dancing. I was born and died and was born again, this time with fur. I could taste all the primary colors. My brain was sizzling like a fajita, burning and popping. I could just make out Butch, who was 50 feet tall, talking to the waiter. Thanks to the mushrooms, Butch says to the waiter, I think now we will have a look at the dessert guide. I woke up and my bed was filled with mixed country greens.
Ooh.
Let's do this.
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Lindley, streaming from Virginia. Good morning.
Hi, Lindley.
Good morning.
What's up?
All right. I just got done talking last night with this girl here in Floyd by the name of Rhiannon, and she's going to college at Hollins, and they're being taught about the dollar bill. And the one thing that they're not being taught about the dollar bill, this is going to take a pen and paper for everyone online to write this down, because this is a little bit complicated.
Hold on. Okay, I got it. I got a pen and paper, and I got a dollar bill.
On the back of the dollar bill, at the bottom of the pyramid, is MDC, CLX, XVI.
Yeah.
All right, those numbers divided up into three different sections.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a little difficult. MDC, you have to make three different pyramids. The top of the pyramid starts with an M, the bottom left is a D, and the bottom right is a C.
So I got to draw three pyramids?
Yes.
Okay.
Very small pyramids.
Okay, so then one's M, one's D, and one's C.
Yes.
Got it.
The top is an M, the bottom left is a D, and the bottom right is a C. And then the next pyramid, the top of it is a C, the bottom left is an L, the bottom right is an X.
Oh, my God, this is I don't...
This gets really good. The top of the next pyramid is an X, the bottom left is a V, and the bottom right is an I.
I'm running
out of
paper.
So you've got three different pyramids, MDC, CLX, XVI.
Okay.
Then every $1 bill is divided up into three different sections, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Okay.
Okay, the top row, which is MCX equals 1,110.
Right.
Which is the last year that the Knights Templar was in action.
Oh.
The bottom row is DC, which is 600. The next row is 60. And the next row is 6.
Right.
666. You actually add those up with 1,110. It equals 1776, which is the year the United States started.
Whoa! I'm breathless myself.
Thanks, man. I can't breathe. Lindley, I don't know what you just did to my head, but I'm not comfortable with it, but I appreciate your call.
Yeah.
Man, it's all there, man. It's all there.
Wait a minute. Wait, let me see that dollar for a second.
It's opening all the doors again. You know, a guy once said to me, maybe I'll tell that story. I like these calls. I'll tell a story in a minute. Victor, listening. The Quake in San Francisco.
Hello. Hey,
what's going on, buddy?
Hi, this is comic Victor SRMore.2itb.com. I have all the resources we need to cage the Republican Nazi terrorist rogue nation permanently.
Okay.
And if you go to the Masons head in Palo Alto near Stanford University, their think tank on University Avenue,
they'll
give you a color brochure that shows 80% of the presidents in our history were Masons.
I knew that. 33rd degree degree Masons, right?
All their ranks, and there's many, many, many branches that once upon a time were individual organizations, but eventually they umbrellaed together.
And what does that mean?
They practice satanic rituals.
Oh.
They do human sacrifice. You can get video of many of our politicians doing these rituals at the Bohemian Groove in the
San
Francisco Bay.
Right.
If you go to Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com, and you can link to that off VictorSRMore.2itb.com.
Okay.
But most importantly, SpitfireList.com, right? Dave Emery's group has a picture on the front cover you can link to of Groppenfuhrer Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Muscle Queen, posing in a Seagull Nazi fascist salute.
Yeah. The Muscle Queen?
Okay. And
the Muscle Queen.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Victor, for doing all the work.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Here, Brooke in New Jersey, what's going on?
Hey, Brooke.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Fine.
Well, if any Republican ever doubted that the left wing is nuts, those two calls just sealed it for them. Let me begin by that.
Uh-huh.
And then the reason why I'm calling is I'm kind of upset with the both of you. You are giving validity to agencies who participate in conspiracy theories, such as the FDA, but meanwhile, you won't give any validity to what Bev Harris is doing and what Randy Rhodes is doing about the vote recount.
Well, how are you not giving it validity?
Well, because I can just tell that, like, even this morning when you started out saying about conspiracy theories, as here are real conspiracies, like, and you, it's like you're inferring that what's happening with the vote count isn't real.
I didn't say anything about the vote count. It sounds like you're inferring it.
No, I'm not. I truly believe that there was something that was going on by the Republican Party that caused them to win the election.
Well, if that comes...
Al Franken, you're saying give us real evidence. Well, you have to dig up real evidence, and if you aren't going to be the left-wing media and support...
If you guys want to dig it up, if Randy wants to dig it up, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
We've been saying over and over again
that if you want to contribute to Bev Harris, we've been giving her
the number.
People have been contributing to Bev Harris.
So what's the problem?
Well, you guys have to get on the same page.
No, we don't.
You wonder why the Republican Party did as well as they did, because if you look at what they do,
it's our fault.
On the same page.
It's our fault. So what we all got to do, what you want us to do? Do me a favor. Call Randy.
Well, we do. But
okay, good. Well,
look, Mark, it's just that if anything comes up like what's happening, then you should support it. And I'm not saying support things that aren't proven.
Yes, you are.
You're absolutely saying support things that aren't proven because this hasn't been proven yet.
Thanks for your call. Chris in Brooklyn. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Chris.
I used to work across from the Masonic Temple in Manhattan.
All right, well, hold on. You know, we got to take a break. Stay on the phone. We'll get you after the break.
Yes.
We got a lot more. We'll take a couple calls after the break. We got Ron Suskind coming up.
Ron Suskind's coming up. He's going to talk about the Powell resignation, the Rice ascension, and a whole bunch more here on Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition, fighting treason with reason on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Is that bald spot getting bigger? Is your hair looking thinner? why aren't you using Avacor, the hair growth treatment that has helped thousands of people, just like you, regrow their hair?
I am 39 years old. I've been slowly balding over the last 10 years. Thanks to Avacor, my hair is coming back, and I couldn't be more excited.
The best product that I've tried.
Avacor is the product of the 21st century.
If you're losing your hair and haven't tried Avacor yet, how about a free month supply? We're giving away a free month of Avacor with all of today's orders. Avacor is proven to successfully stop hair loss and regrow hair.
Call 800-344-0089 for your risk-free trial of Avacor. Call now, 800-344-0089. That's 800-344-0089. And remember, all of today's orders will receive an additional month's supply of Avacor absolutely free. Call 800-344-0089.
Welcome home, Greg.
Ah, who are you?
I'm Maxim. Sit. Relax.
Thanks.
ESPN, your Steelers won last night.
How'd you get in? Stop.
I thought
Stop
you'd
it.
Like that.
Stop it.
Oh, Jimmy called.
You're answering my phone?
The boys are all going to Miami for some fun. I'll get you a list of the best bars.
What? Cool.
And I've got some jokes that'll make you a babe magnet.
Babe? Whoa.
Girls, comedy, sports, music coming soon. Maxim Radio, Sirius 145.
Hello, everybody. I'm Tony Cantillo, your fresh grocer, and today's tip of the day is going to be with basil. You know, with the holidays that are coming out, the basil is so important to have around the house. A lot of it is being imported in right now, and some are still growing in from Florida and some other regions in the U.S. So when you see basil by the bunch, you have to buy it. I mean, it's a sin to pass this up for the holidays, but you got to select the one that's nice and green. You want to make sure it's, well, you got to look at it like a fresh cut bunch of flowers. Got to stand straight up. Make sure it's free from any bug bites, too. And yellowing. When you bring them home, what you want to do is cut the bottom of the basil, the bunch, and put them in a glass on the counter. Put a little cellophane around it. It creates its own little hothouse environment, and that basil will last 5 to 6 days. If you store it in the refrigerator, you know what's going to happen? The basil turns black. And I'm Tony Cantillo, your fresh grocer. For more information on basil and other herbs, go to TonyCantillo.com. Hello, I'm Tony Cantillo. You know, sometimes information on nutrition and health can seem overwhelming. That's why there's the Dole Nutrition News. Twice a month, this electronic newsletter will bring you the very latest in diet and nutrition research, plus recipes, fitness tips, and natural beauty ideas. Best of all, it's absolutely free. How do you get all this information? Simply just go to www.dolenutrition.com. To sign up, it's free, it's easy, and it's loaded with news that you can use to lose weight and look great. Again, that's www.dolenutrition.com.
All right, you 4 years old son, ready for the big leagues. Put your bat on, buddy. Hey, no helmet. Okay, that's right, your thigh guards. Now don't forget your mouth guard. You don't want to be losing teeth in your first game. Well, they're baby teeth, but yeah, put it in. Don't let them worry you. They may be over 200 pounds and kind of mean looking, but you're ready for them. Just run through them. Here's the ball. Run!
Daddy?
Don't look at me. Run with it. Go, boy. Run!
But I could get hurt.
No pain, no gain. Now run!
Ow!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult. So why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Ah, you should have spray-armed them.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. Basketball great Charles Barkley.
I got a little pop quiz for you. What do I have a hard time keeping shut? And what is my nickname? And now I got one for you. Do you know your kid's principal's nickname?
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
You give me power.
This is Paul McCartney on behalf of Rad. If you're drinking, you can't drive my car or any car. And remember, don't drink and drive. It's just not worth it.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
34 past the hour. Mark Maron with Mark Riley here on Air America Radio's Morning Sedition.
Oh, yeah.
Liberal bully just called us. She said that we had to do what she wanted us to do. Look, I have been in the loop on those, you know, result numbers, the crunching numbers, the exit poll numbers. I get forwarded numbers all the time by a friend of mine who's on the pulse of that stuff. And usually within, you know, three or four emails, they discredit the numbers. They don't know what the numbers mean. You know, certainly if there's fraud, if there's anything that went wrong with that election, I would love to report it. And I will report it. There's a recount going on in Florida. And obviously, if you want to get involved, go to blackboxvoting.org. I've been reading Beth Harris's diary. It's all exciting. I just don't, I don't want to make it my show 3 hours a day. So I'm sorry if I'm not serving your needs exactly as you need them to be served. And if you think you know what's right for all progressives and liberals, that makes you just like them as well. So moving on, my friends. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Everybody's got the right idea. You're making it worse by characterizing, you know what I mean? You're just feeding into, you're just doing, you're just making them see us as, you know, yeah, you did too. You did exactly what you accused me of doing with conspiracies. You just did the exact same thing. Here we go. Since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, day 144. The leaders of Iraq. Wow. You may have heard French Prime Minister Jacques Chirac said, quote, "There is no doubt," unquote, "that terrorism around the world has increased because of the war in Iraq." Really? You agree with Jacques Chirac? Have you learned nothing? Here's a few things you should know about Monsieur Chirac. He's jealous. God, is he jealous. It bums him out that France is a second-class world power. Maybe because no one has ever sounded intimidating speaking French. Try it. Doesn't work. Plus, Chirac's still bummed out about that we had to land in France to bail them out of World War II. But mostly, Chirac's bummed out because the French like to be bummed out. That's their thing. They're good at it. Pessimism and food. All right. I'm fashioning the impressionist, but that's about it. Plus, keep in mind, Chirac doesn't have to answer to Bush. He can say whatever he wants. You can't. Remember, France is a country that gave Michael Moore the Palme d'Or at Cannes. No, he did not deserve it. Come on. He never would have won if Tarantino were on the jury. So Chirac may say things that are true, but since when has truth been a big priority over here? Exactly. And anyway, Chirac is wrong. Clearly, terrorism has gone down since the Americans have showed up. Yeah, no, what do you mean? Yeah. Terrorism has clearly gone down since the Americans have shown up. Anyway, good luck and God bless. By God, I mean our God. This is day 144 of Iraq, birth of the nation, live free or die.
Wow. Somebody went out in a blaze of glory over there.
That's some crazy stuff there, man.
Yeah, man. That was out there.
I get riled up, man.
I get riled up.
Did you get riled? Oh, that's right. You don't watch sports. So you, the whole Monday Night Football controversy went right by you, right?
Yeah, let's hear some more funny. Hey, Chris, will you play that, the duet?
I'm pleased to announce my nomination of Dr. Condoleezza Rice to be America's Secretary of State.
My
During the last 4 years, I've relied on her counsel.
There's only you in my life.
Benefited from her great experience.
The only
the strength. The grace.
I guess you could say it was love at first sight.
My first love.
I'm very grateful to you. My dear friend and mentor.
I am very much looking forward to joining the fraternity.
And now I'm honored that she's agreed to serve in my cabinet.
This is humbling.
I can't tell you how much I love Connie Rice.
He is one of the finest public servants our nation has ever produced.
I can't tell you how lucky I am.
No one else.
It was my honor to serve alongside him.
And when we come together.
Now, that's an image that I particularly like.
Connie's true ambition is beyond my power to grant. We have one future that binds us, and Connie Rice is the right person for that challenge.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right. Joining us now by phone from Hollywood, Florida, is Ron Suskind. He is the author of The Price of Loyalty, George W. Bush, the White House, and the Education of Paul O'Neill. This cat knows what's going on with this cabinet. Hey, Ron, how are you?
Good. I just need a second, guys.
I know. We all get sort of choked up here as well. So what's your take on the big cabinet shakeup?
Oh, good God. Well, you know, it's clearly everyone in Washington is watching this sort of purging that's going on. You know, the fact is what we've seen over the last few years is disenfranchisement, the diminution of the honest brokers.
Mm-hmm.
There are people in this cabinet from the start who were well known as pragmatists. Colin Powell, obviously prominent among them, Paul O'Neill, another, Christy Whitman, Tommy Thompson, frankly,
right,
over at HHS. And day by day, they have been essentially pushed aside, or in some cases, interestingly, even made examples of. This is sort of the way things sort of work here.
Give me an example.
The fact is that the president has made clear to senior advisors that he is not a president who really wants to hear the competing point of view. Most presidents have been actually very ardent in the opposite direction. They understand that they should hear maybe the thing they least want to hear, not just the best case scenario or yes boss or you betcha, but you know, the thing that frankly will save them at the end of the day. And this is every president of modern times.
Has wanted to hear an opposing viewpoint in order to get at least a reasonable opinion.
Absolutely, you know, because they just don't want to make a mistake at this level. If you make a mistake at this level, the consequences might be profound. This president has step by step said, you know, I just want to hear what I want to hear. I want to hear affirmation. I want to hear support. And I essentially want your vote of confidence, you cabinet official, you senior advisor, in me.
Is part of that because this administration has got so good at sort of hypnotizing the masses into, you know, they lie and they've gotten so confident in their propaganda that they don't care anymore.
Well, you know, and also there's this notion, obviously this quote that is now off-cited about we create our own reality, which is something that was in the October New York Times Magazine piece I wrote. You know, one of the things that's fascinating about that is that if that's the position, it's important to create a kind of internal coherence, an internal consistency.
Right.
And what we know now in watching this administration, and Americans I think know this sort of writ large, is that the public voice, that's one thing. Yes, every administration wants to have message discipline. On the outside, you know, get the press release, get the official speak right.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting here is they want the same discipline inside even the innermost circles of the administration. This is truly unique. And that's what's been going on. Let's get people in here who essentially will have message discipline on my behalf, I the president, inside even small meetings, inside the key policy debates, inside the innermost circle of the White House.
Oh, my God.
That's very, very different. And it's just the way this president likes to be president. It's the way he likes to lead. And it essentially is the way, you know, he is leading ever more forcefully in the second term.
Ron, it strikes me as odd that this president would treat Colin Powell the way he did, waiting a day before actually reacting to the fact that he resigned. You know, given how close Colin Powell was traditionally to his father, why would he do that? And what exactly did Powell do?
Okay, this is very interesting. I'm glad you asked that question. Yeah. What you need to understand, which is a bit counterintuitive, but here's the way it works, is that it's important because Powell is known for certain things, for pragmatism, for multilateralism, for a certain kind of credibility. It's important that Powell be made an example of, because if he is brought low, then all of the things that Powell represents essentially are brought low with him.
That means internationalism?
Everything.
Right.
I mean, Powell represents an idea, and to essentially have Powell in large measure humiliated in public, that's what happened over the past 4 years. I mean, there are instances in which major U.S. policies in foreign affairs, you know, are spoken by Powell. Powell will say on North Korea, you know, or in certain areas in and around Iraq, he'll say X. The next day, the administration will say Y. That is something that almost never happens for a Secretary of State. Why is that? It's important that Powell be made an example of so that everyone sees, A, the president is in charge, B, that here is what we, the innermost circle, the neocons, the president, others, think about what Colin Powell represents. When you say about he's close to his father, Powell has to be disenfranchised in public, not in spite of the fact that he is close to the president's father, but because of it.
Oh, wow. Let's continue this conversation. We're going to take a break, Ron. So I want to get into that. So hold that thought. I also want to talk about the consequences of having an echo chamber and this type of discipline within the inner cabinet. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Ron Susskind. It's 44 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition. It's more than just a commute companion.
Listen online at morningsedition.com when you get to work, courtesy of Air America Radio.
Until recently, men have had only two options to improve their performance in the bedroom. Take a prescription drug that works quickly but only lasts for a few hours, or take a natural supplement that can take up to 4 weeks to work. But now there's a new option. In a recent medically supervised anecdotal study, over 96% of the participants who took Proton Extreme reported an increase in libido and erectile strength. Each participant was given a one-week supply. Some of the younger men had a response in just a few hours, others in just a few days. Regardless of your age, if you want to boost your libido quickly and naturally, then take the Proton test yourself. Results are guaranteed.
Call now for your risk-free supply. 1-800-399-6763. That's 1-800-399-6763. 9 out of 10 men have success with Proton. Now it's your turn. Call 1-800-399-6763. Again, 1-800-399-6763.
Planet Check. Roland Wong, Vehicles Policy Director for the NRDC, has good news.
September 24th, the Air Resources Board adopted the world's first mandatory global warming pollution standards for cars and trucks.
No place in the world has these standards. Global warming is one of the most challenging eco problems.
And we cannot solve this problem without the United States taking action, cutting pollution from tailpipes and smokestacks.
California, once again, is leading the way.
California pollution standards on vehicles typically for the last 4 decades have been adopted nationwide.
If all goes well, the standards will begin in 2009.
And be phased in over an 8-year period until 2016, requiring about a 30% cut in global warming pollution from tailpipes.
Learn more at nrdc.org. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
I got serious in August because I really wanted to hear the NFL, and I didn't even know you were on, and I had to get straight 4 to 6. I'm sitting in fucking traffic. I'd be pulling my hair out if I wasn't.
George from Alabama.
Now it's going to be on where I can actually listen.
Friday was his go-out night.
Oh, I got you.
Monday through Thursday, he was...
Right, hurry up.
Jersey.
What's your favorite station?
Oh, dogs.
Nice.
Jim Brewer unleashed weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern.
1 Pacific.
Only on Sirius Raw Dog. 147.
Comedy.
Uncensored.
Except here.
This is a promo. What are you going to do?
How do you teach conversation skills to a toddler? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Start by kneeling down and making eye contact with your young child. Limit the amount of words you use and keep the message simple. Allow your toddler enough time to respond to what you've just said. Keep in mind that during these early years, you're teaching far more than word recognition. You're actually modeling for your toddler proper ways to communicate with future teachers, peers, employers, and perhaps their own family one day. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to familyminute.net. That's familyminute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving out 2 indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who will work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
They're in your bathroom cabinet, under the kitchen sink, in your garage. They're ordinary household products that kids as young as 10 sniff to get high. What these kids don't know is that sniffing can cause instant death. Talk to your kids. Know where they're going, who they're with, and what they're doing. If you know what your kids are up to, they're much less likely to sniff inhalants. Awareness. The anti-drug.
I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
You know, before in the segment before this, when we were talking about conspiracies, we had a phone caller on the line, but he hung up. So I just wanted to clear that palate there. If you were saying, "Oh man, what happened to the callers?" That's what happened. We are now talking to Ron Suskind, the author of "The Price of Loyalty: George W. Bush in the White House and the Education of Polony," and we were addressing the Colin Powell disenfranchisement issue. And you were saying, you're saying that the reason he did it in terms of Powell's alignment with his father was that I'm saying that to get some closure on this Oedipal struggle, I'm supposing it's more than that.
Yeah. You know, the fact is the president and his father, the only thing those two men have in common is that they've both been president. They could not be more distinctly polar opposites in almost any other context. It's you know, the fact is all the folks around the 41st president, you know, guys like Powell, O'Neill, men outside the building, Brent Scowcroft and others, many of them have been essentially brought low in public. Now, obviously, you've got Dick Cheney and others who have made certain decisions as to how they'll conduct themselves and the things they'll embrace, a choice, in fact, between father and son. And they prospered by virtue of that choice. But what my point is, which I think is one that people are understanding more and more in public and something that people inside the Republican Party understand, is that there are enormous distinctions, and I believe tensions between the father and the son, that are longstanding, and the son essentially exercises his prerogatives evermore as president.
I mean, in spite of his father.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, look, you know, I just look at the convention, look at the Democratic convention. I mean, the idea that a former president will not speak at his party's convention, especially when his son is being nominated, it's absurd. It's astonishing.
Ron, talk a bit about Condoleezza Rice, her legacy at the National Security Council. Was she a good NSA, and will she make a good Secretary of State?
Well, she's not been a particularly strong NSA. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You know, she had very forceful characters around her, Rumsfeld and Cheney and others, especially Cheney, who has been so central to foreign policy in the United States. In large measure, people say now, looking back on her 4 years, the first term, is that she did not exercise, you know, a key honest broker's role, which is what the National Security Advisor is supposed to do, to be there to navigate the push and shove between various forces in the foreign policy establishment. She did not do a good job at that. She was rather vivid and dramatic in offering support to the president in ways that I think history will probably frown on. You know, Condi Rice was the one who said, "Let's not make the smoking let the smoking gun be a mushroom cloud," right, and all the rest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that the key thing Condi did was she acted in a kind of closed door, you know, let's talk, confidant's role with the president. She's not a well-known authority or big thinker on foreign policy. Lots of NSA directors are. you know, her expertise is in Cold War throw weights, you know, bipolar, i.e. U.S. Soviet, especially in Europe. That's what she is a specialist on. Much of that is utterly arcane and obsolete in terms of analysis. And the fact is that mostly what she did was get close to the president. I said to somebody, you know, arguably Condi's greatest moment as a strategic thinker was replacing Karen Hughes.
Yeah.
You know, and that was a tough job, and she rose to the occasion. What's interesting, guys, also,
yeah,
in terms of the two big departments or big departments in the government, is that if you look at the State Department, the Treasury Department, others that tend to be large independent nation states for most presidents, and presidents tend to like that. They want a big, strong Treasury or a big, strong State Department so that they can come to the president with that clean kind of coherent guidance on choices and consequences. Largely, those departments have been turned into marketing and advertising.
Propaganda.
Absolutely.
Right.
You know, we do R&D, we do product development in the White House. You read the script.
Right.
That's the way it is at Treasury, and I think increasingly that's the way it'll be at State. And
you guys
and
are
I
working.
Think it's the way it's turning into at CIA as well.
Their job is to baffle the rubes. But let me ask you something, Ron.
Yeah.
What speculate for me. The worst case scenario of having a cabinet that is just a bunch of yes men, an echo chamber, you know, people that are willing to have the discipline to do whatever the president wants to hear or say whatever he wants to hear. What in worst case scenario with this particular bunch, what do you see?
Well, you know, the fact is that what you're getting are you have almost nobody at this point, as far as I can see, who will say, now hold on a minute, to this president and this very, very tight circle of people, Dick Cheney, Karl Rove, others, who are guiding the ship of state. Virtually nobody with an independent constituency. That's the important part. You know, presidents always bring a gang from the campaign or back home, and those confidants are always around a president. But also they bring in these 300-pound gorillas who run big parts of the United States government, which is an enormous operation. Those sort of independent actors, strong people who will turn to the president and say, stop right where you are. I don't see any of them right now in the government. Execution, forcefulness of action, those are the things that are central upon which the premium has been placed.
All right, so you're saying it could get pretty bad.
Well, you know, what it means is it means the president, I think, is increasingly creating that kind of clean running engine.
Yeah.
You know, so that his dictate, even if it is something that he doesn't spend a lot of time deliberating about, even if it's just I went with my gut, I went on instinct, and I prayed over it,
right,
which is mostly the way the decision-making model works, that it will be executed without question.
Right.
All the way through this administration, senior people like O'Neill, like Powell, Christy Whitman, and others talked about discussions of the hows, never the whys.
Right.
Why are we doing this?
Right.
How could I have missed that discussion? That's my area.
Right. Well, yeah, we got to cut it. We got to get out of here in a second, Ron. So it could get pretty grim. That's what you're saying. What are you doing down in Florida? You're not doing a piece on the election, are you?
No, actually, I'm down here for my brother's son's bar mitzvah.
Right where my mom lives. Well, you know, it was great talking to you as always, Ron. You take care.
Hey guys, be well.
I appreciate it, Ron.
Thanks a lot. Man, it's very frightening.
Do you get a theme and a pattern out of most of the people we've talked to this week about what they think about this cabinet? Because I'm starting to feel like, whoa.
And I also think they're being fairly diplomatic in how they're presenting it. But, like, you know, everything they're saying without being, like, you know, without projecting into the future as to the horrors that could come from this single-mindedness of this, you know, narrow ideology, it seems scary when I think about it.
Well, it is scary. I mean, what we're seeing is a wholesale shift on all levels. Foreign policy, again, some of the stuff we talked about last hour, in terms of health and product safety, all of these things are going to change. And Americans, I don't think, are going to be much better for that change. When we come back in the next hour of Morning Sedition, we've got playwright, screenwriter, and now author Neil LaBute. He'll be joining us. And we've got Lawton Smalls from Planet Bush.
Oh, no.
All for you here on Air America Radio.
Mark Maron and Mark Riley. Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. What was your name again? Barry?
Johnson.
Barry Johnson.
Yeah.
The U.S. Postal Service wants to remind everyone this year to protect themselves from becoming victims of identity theft. Your personal information is a gold mine for identity thieves. Identity theft is taking key pieces of someone's personal information, such as a name, address, or social security number, in order to impersonate them. For more information, log on to consumer.gov. A message from the U.S. Postal Service.
So, what do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be an optimist.
A what?
An optimist.
My dad is one, and he says optimists help kids.
He says they have all sorts of activities and programs for kids.
Things that help kids feel good about themselves.
Dad says they have sports programs, safety programs, and things that are just fun.
So, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Well, I kind of wanted to be a rock star, but now I think I might want to be an optimist too.
Uncensored.
Uncensored.
Uncut.
Uncut.
Satellite Fresh.
Satellite Fresh.
Serious. In awe.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Kelman. The Bush administration has more problems on its hands with respect to that impending government election in Iraq in January. Reports this morning say dozens of political organizations with largely Sunni Muslim members have announced that they would boycott elections as the government's leading political parties met in northern Iraq to discuss forming an alliance before the vote. The group's decision was announced by the influential Muslim Scholars Association. The decision came as no surprise, but its impact is said to be difficult to gauge at this particular time. Without substantial Sunni involvement, any elected government would be fragile. American troops believe they scored a touchdown yesterday with the discovery of what they call the terrorist rat hole and bomb-making factory in Fallujah. What's more, speculation is strong that the facility was an abandoned command center for terrorist mastermind Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. Reports indicate that one of the buildings in the location was filled with documents, old computers, and notebooks. At the last, and the last Australian aid agency in Iraq has decided to pull up its tents and leave. World Vision is pulling out after the murders of its own head of the operations and Care Australia aid worker Margaret Hassan. World Vision's Iraqi head of operations, Mohammed Hushia, was shot to death by an unknown gunman in Mosul back in September. Hassan was believed murdered earlier this week in Iraq. In other news, a high-ranking reviewer for the Food and Drug Administration and a man credited for being an early whistleblower on the harmful effects of the arthritis medication Vioxx told the Senate Finance Committee yesterday that the nation is virtually defenseless against a repeat of the Vioxx debacle. That person is David Graham, who thinks at least five medications in the market today could leave a person vulnerable to harmful side effects.
We're faced with what may be the single greatest drug safety catastrophe in the history of this country. I strongly believe that this should have been, and largely could have been, avoided, but it wasn't. And over 100,000 Americans have paid dearly for this failure. In my opinion, the FDA has let the American people down.
David Graham, as he testified before the Senate Finance Committee. There's a saying that the military enlists a soldier, but reenlists a family. The Defense Department is trying to make the second part easier to accomplish. Purdue University's Military Family Research Institute is getting $8 million, this to study soldiers and their families. Policymakers hope the use of the findings to keep soldiers from leaving an especially daunting task in this time of war. Pentagon spokesman says officials recognize that they have to keep soldiers and their families happy to maintain troop strength in an all-volunteer military. So far, the researchers have helped the Defense Department develop a social compact that links quality of life programs and the military's readiness. The compact also lays out a 20-year plan to help the military compete for recruits with the civilian sector. And convicted of killing four black girls in a racially motivated bombing in Alabama, the man who long denied having any involvement in the 1963 attack has died while in prison at the age of 74. Wayne Gilman,
Air. Are your employees falling asleep on the job?
Productivity down.
Customers complain.
You stink.
Well, before you fire everyone and go out of business, try switching the music in your workplace to Sirius. Come on, you're already in love with the music in your car and home. Bring a Sirius business plan to work. At $24.95 a month, it's cheaper than music and a lot more fun. Log on to Sirius.com and click through business subscriptions or give us a call at 888-539-SIRIUS.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Brian is wondering if he should cash out his whole life policy. My answer coming up next.
Money, 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 money.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Brian has questions about his whole life insurance policy.
I have two life policies, probably about $8,000 cash value built up in the two of them. My question is, do you cash these things in and put that money in mutual fund?
As soon as you have your term insurance in place, you need about 8 to 10 times your income in 15 to 20-year level term, and then I would drop these things in a heartbeat. And the reason is very simple, Dave. The rate of return on your investment stinks. And then secondly, you paid about 10 times more per month for the same amount of whole life as you would have for term. Now that you've paid all that money to create this savings, when you die with a face value of $50,000, they're going to send $50,000.
Right.
What happened to your $8,000 you've worked so hard to save up at a lousy rate of return? They keep it. So you have a savings or an investment program with a lousy rate of return. When you die, they keep your money. Would I cash this in? How fast can I do it?
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Growing up on a farm out here, I just thought life was great. I had my own horse. I drove a tractor with my dad. For me, I thought farm life was the American dream. Hi, my name is Rex Phipps. That all changed when I was reminded how dangerous working on a farm can be. My cousin was almost killed in a terrible accident. I had to do something. I couldn't help my cousin, but I could help other people avoid this on their farms. So I volunteered at farm safety day camps for children of all ages, teaching kids about being safe around tractors, tools, and animals. Just like I found a need to fill in my community, your community needs you. Find out how you can help in your hometown. Get out and live. Volunteer.
Brought to you by the Hitachi Foundation's Yoshiyama Award for Exemplary Service to the Community and this station.
Mark Maron, it's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Good morning, genius, philosopher, kings and queens, rugged, independent people who all need to be on the same page. How are you? Everybody needs to be on the same page. We should all wear the same outfit, sing the same songs, forego any news or anything interesting to appease the agenda of the few that think that the same page is thus... Yeah, right. What do you got? Well, good morning, Mark Riley.
Good morning, Mark Riley.
Oh, there's the opening bell, and that means it's time for the Morning Sedition Friday Business Report. Good morning, capitalists. I have a news of important new trend. In 4 years, China will host the Olympic Games, attracting more foreign visitors to the Beijing area than at any other time in history. Yeah, you're reading my mind. That's where the World Toilet Organization comes in. For the last 3 days, frenzied fecal experts from around the world have been gathering in Beijing to share their knowledge on the best ways to swirl human excrement in a porcelain bowl and expel it into your drinking water. In fact, there was such a rush to the conference, some participants barely had enough time to drop the kids off at the pool. Drop the kids off at the pool. The pool. Hello. Showcased. Lavatories at the conference include one shaped like a ladybug, another one shaped like a grass hut, another one modeled after a nostalgic gas station bathroom with the sign, Whites Only. This is your opportunity, investors. You see, even though Beijing has over 2,800 public facilities, most of them are little more than open trenches filled with Mao Zedong. Mao Zedong. Hello, pay attention, people. This renewed interest in public washrooms can only lead to great groundswell in the price of toilet stocks. So get off the pot and get your hands wet, America. Rebuilding China's aging toilet infrastructure has never looked more financially attractive. My eyes are tearing up just thinking about it. This has been the Morning Sedition Friday Business Report.
Ooh.
Wow.
Ooh. Mao Zedong.
There are people out there. This is not the page we need to be on. Don't you understand? They stole it. It's over. Everything. It doesn't matter who's in the cabinet. Doesn't matter what's going on in Iraq. It doesn't matter what's going on in Europe. It doesn't matter how we're getting screwed on taxes, how the FDA isn't working. It doesn't matter whether the USDA is overlooking mad cow disease. It doesn't matter that this administration is making it possible for more crap to be pumped in the air. What we should really worry about for the next 4 years is whether or not a few thousand people voted one way or the other that wouldn't have made a difference in the election anyways. You're right, people. Stay on that page. Go ahead. Get mired in that crap for 4 years. All right? And let's just let these guys run rampant over democracy while you keep that going, because that makes liberals and progressives look good. You're right. Stay on that page, idiots. Go ahead. I don't care. Do it. What we're going to do here is entertain people and integrate some of the today's news that's happening now. If the recount proves to put Kerry in office, God, I hope that happens. I am so on board with that. When you get those numbers right, I will be the first to talk about them. I will not pay attention to the news so you guys can feel vindicated in your bitterness. I'm not going to do it. When the truth comes out, I will put it on the air.
Yep, and the truth hasn't come out yet, people, whether people want to admit this or not. It still has to be proven.
So, anyways, you know, what are we going to do? Oh, yeah, we're going to do a cute story.
Yeah,
let's talk about the issues. Here are the real issues.
Okay.
Is that the FDA, a guy, a whistleblower from the FDA, came out and said that America has no reason to feel safe. There is no way that this agency is serving the American public in any protective way at all anymore. And that outside of Vioxx, there are several other medications that shouldn't be trusted. Am I right?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I believe he said, and this is a guy named David Graham. He's a reviewer for the Food and Drug Administration. He testified before the Senate Finance Committee, and he says the country is virtually defenseless against a repeat of the Vioxx foolishness.
Isn't that unbelievable? And now, I've always thought, you know, in terms of pharmaceutical companies, you know that Donald Rumsfeld and George H.W. Bush were both CEOs of pharmaceutical companies for
yes.
a period of time. And I believe that, as far as conspiracies go, one of the great liabilities of being a progressive, a liberal, or even in some cases a Democrat, is that, you know, in order to be empathetic, in order to truly believe in social programs, in order to believe that everybody deserves a sort of, you know, equal treatment under the law, that democracy can work, you have to have a certain sensitivity, a certain capacity to be empathetic with other people's pain and other people's situations. And unfortunately, that sensitivity in the world we live in can lead to despair, can lead to hopelessness, can lead to depression. I believe that certain right-wing thinkers and certain neo-capitalist, neocon whack jobs who are sort of all pro-pharmaceutical industry set out about 10 or 15 years ago to completely medicate the left. And I believe that, you know, I'm starting to believe that some of these people may be from other planets, Mark Riley. I know this sounds crazy. I may be going off. But think about the names of medications. Just some of the names that are on this list right here of medications that this guy Graham thinks might still be dangerous. I mean, I'm starting to think that, because you always wonder where these names come from.
Oh,
Prozac,
yeah.
Zoloft. You know, maybe this guy, here we got one here. Meridia, a weight loss drug. They said that the benefits, whether they're trying to decide whether the benefits outweigh the risks of higher blood pressure or stroke among people. People taking it.
Stroke.
Yeah.
Among people taking.
But, you know, if you look good in a casket, that's important. But Meridia, where does that come from? Is there some sort of, like, on top of the CEOs of pharmaceutical companies, or is there some sort of, like, you know, alien council that's like, I am from the planet of Meridia. All our people are thin. Perhaps you Earth people can be more like us.
I'm wondering if it's that or if they just hired a guy who just makes up names.
Extra.
No, nobody could have made that up. Sorry.
I am from the planet Bextra, where I live. Even when people get hurt, they feel no pain. They smile and dance around with no limbs.
Mm-hmm.
We can make Earth more like my planet, Bextra.
And then there's planet Cerevent.
Cerevent, where people breathe well at all times. There is no asthma on my planet. Cerevent will treat asthma, but unfortunately 90% in a long-term trial in England that this causes death. Due to asthma.
Yeah.
But the scary thing about this particular conspiracy, you know, outside of whatever's going to be going on, you know, with vote recounts and everything else, is that we no longer can trust any of our regulating agencies, because this administration, before and now during, And like I said, God willing, Kerry can still win. I'm all for that. And, you know, hopefully, if anything comes out of all of this, you know, investigation and voter fraud, we can get rid of these machines, perhaps federalize the voting system and change the way polling works.
Permanently.
Because I got to tell you, you know, polling, you know, and electoral systems have never worked properly since the beginning of time. They've always been manipulated. There's always been fraud. I mean, for God's sakes, you know, when President Kennedy became president, you know, there was a lot of indication that he won in a fraudulent election, and Nixon said, well, let him have it, because, of course, he got the inside line on what was going to happen in 63, because that was a Republican. But, you know, that's a whole other conspiracy. But nonetheless, I mean, what's really frightening is, who do we turn to? Where do we go when we're looking for public safety? You can't go to the USDA. They're trying to cover up. They've prostituted themselves to pharmaceutical companies, to the cattle industry, to you know, the mining industry, and to the petroleum industry when it comes to air quality. And this administration has sold out any of our trust to corporate interests. And if the tort reform thing goes through, we're done. People are done. We're just part of a bottom line. We're expendable.
Well, what we're seeing here now, Mark, is the wholesale infiltration of many of these agencies by toadies from various people within the Bush administration. And, by the way, the Christian right. The Christian right seems to have, if some of the folks we've talked to are at all credible, a direct pipeline into the Food and Drug Administration. A direct pipeline. In other words, you know, entry-level jobs come up. They get those kids from John Hancock University or some of these other places that are really boilerplate operations for the Christian right. They confer college degrees, Bob Jones University, I'm sure. And they pipeline those folks directly into these agencies. And these folks rise through the ranks and eventually end up controlling the agency.
You can't hypnotize them with religion. Medicate them. If you can't medicate them, let them eat bad meat.
Yes.
Call us, 866-303-2270. Let's hear your two cents. We're going to have Dr. Marin's movie reviews.
Yes.
That will surprise him if he's listening, but he told me yesterday he doesn't usually listen. So it is 15 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Join the morning sedition. Call 866-303-2270. That's 866-303-2270. Morning sedition on Air America Radio.
My credit card bills are getting out of hand. 12%, 18%, even 24%? I can't get ahead. There's no money left over after paying bills.
You need help now.
But what can I do?
If you're a homeowner, you need to call Omega Mortgage Acceptance Corporation. In fact, at Omega Mortgage, they've actually lowered rates, reduced payments, and delivered the cash needed to thousands of homeowners.
I can even have money left over for the holidays?
That's right. And at Omega Mortgage, they make home loans easy and can approve you in less than 20 minutes. You won't be buried in heaps of paperwork or mountains of documentation. You don't even need tax returns. Great if you're self-employed.
But I've had mortgage late. Can they really help me?
No problem. Credit card lates, mortgage lates, even bankruptcy. Omega Mortgage specializes in home loans for homeowners just like you. Call right now to lower your payments and get cash in your hands in time for the holidays. 888-32-APPLY. 888-32-APPLY. Get approved in less than 20 minutes. Call 888-32-APPLY. That's 888-322-7759. Licensed by Cal DRE number 01411312. Call 888-32-APPLY.
This is a Mother Jones Minute. With almost $4 billion thrown at federal political campaigns this cycle, it's clear that campaign finance reform was a joke. Those of us who want to break the corrosive links between politicians and their big bucks backers need a new strategy. Stopping dirty money from flowing into politics may be impossible, but there is a clean money way to ensure that no strings attached candidates can effectively compete. How? By adopting full public financing like the systems in use in Arizona and Maine. In this system, all candidates who raise a specified number of small contributions and agree to a spending cap are given full public financing. This prevents candidates from owing favors to big donors and ensures that politicians spend their time listening to citizens, not groveling for cash. And it diversifies the field. Latino and Native American candidates tripled after Arizona began public financing. In light of the billions the special interest fueled Congress is costing us, public financing is dirt cheap. It's the best investment we can make. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
Remember last year when you bought your wife a vacuum cleaner for Christmas? And gave Uncle Ed that bag of candy?
Oh, geez.
Not realizing he was allergic to peanuts. And then there was that rather inappropriate gift you gave your female boss.
You're fired.
Do it right this year and give the gift of Sirius. Everything for everyone for under $100. Available at Best Buy, Circuit City, Radio Shack, Office Depot, Walmart, or at Sirius.com.
What do you do when your teenager is disrespectful to your spouse? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Your daughter says, I hate you. You're the worst mom in the world. Or she lets a few choice words fly at your husband. What do you do? Well, you can just ignore it and let your spouse and child work it out. But what kind of message does that send to your child? They need to see a unified mom and dad. Parents who support each other with words and actions. If you don't like the way your spouse handled or treated your child, talk it out privately. Otherwise, send a clear, firm, and unified message to your child. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Wash off the blackboard. Put away the books. Take down the posters.
Put away the gym balls.
Empty out our desks.
Scrape our names off the lockers.
Pull our drawings off the walls.
Put it all in the garbage.
Throw it away.
Throw it all away.
AIDS has killed more children worldwide than there are in all the grade schools in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
Want to influence a child's life? Wear your seatbelt. Research shows that when a driver doesn't wear a seatbelt, 70% of the time the children in that car don't either. And an unbuckled child is in danger. Traffic crashes are the leading cause of death for children. Help us stop unbuckled adults from endangering children's lives. There's just too much to lose. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Buckle Up America.
Past the hour, Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. It's Morning's Edition.
Yes, it is.
In a little while, we're going to be talking to Neil LaBute, the director and writer of The Company of Men, about his new play and other things. That
you
should
know
be
what?
Exciting.
I wonder if he hasn't hung out in some of the same bars I have. Some of the stories he tells.
Yeah?
Psych!
He's trying to go for the Riley Town button, and he teased me. Anyways, some woman in a Catholic schoolgirl's dress came by earlier gave us the... and gave us the palm pie.
No, it's just that I've seen a few movies that started with never.
That's the express train to Riley Town. So here's Bill Clinton's palm pie. Anyways, here's ex-President Clinton's schedule. 6 a.m., wake up in Arkansas next to Hillary. Does nothing change? 6:30 a.m., breakfast. What I want, a plate of biscuits smothered in sausage gravy. What I'm having, oatmeal and an apple. Note, use this little detail in my next book to illustrate how difficult it was to overcome heart surgery. 7 a.m., revised policy assessment vis-a-vis the rise of Islam in Southeast Asia and its potential economic impact on the Pacific Rim. Note, don't spend too much time on this light stuff. I've got real work to do. 9 a.m., visit library. Hang out in the impeachment wing and give every visitor my side. 12 noon, lunch with Jimmy Carter, George Bush, Senior and Junior. For fun, ask George W. to repeat all those nice things he said about me yesterday. People who don't write their own speeches are hilarious. 1 p.m., sit on the porch in my t-shirt. 3 p.m., watch all my children. Note, how can Jack ever trust Danielle after what she did with Reggie? People in love have such problems. 4 p.m., drive around Little Rock High School listening to Skinner. Check out the talent. Swig from Half Pint Bottle of Southern Comfort. Look cool. 5 to 9 p.m., hang out at Barbershop to chat with the locals about politics. Note, assure them that I am not running for state legislature in 2006, but if I were, I would certainly be grateful for their support in 2006 when I'm not running. Probably. We got your calls. We got some calls lined up here, 866-303-2270. Before we do that, it's Friday. It's the weekend. It's a good time to settle down in a comfortable theater and watch a good movie. Morning Sedition has decided to do what every other lazy media outlet does and feature a weekly movie reviewer. The only difference between us and everyone else is that our reviewer doesn't know he's reviewing movies for us, and he's my dad. So here's the phone conversation I have with my father and secretly taped in a segment I'd like to call Dr. Marin's Movies. Hello?
How you doing? It's Dad. Fine. How you doing?
I'm all right, man. I just called to say hi. What have you been up to?
I've been just worked a little as a doctor the other day, and I'm still working on shoes, if you want to give that one up.
Yeah, how long's that been? It's been like 2 weeks you've been a shoe salesman. No good, huh?
It's very boring. You know, it gets a little draining on you.
So I'm going to go to the movies this weekend. Did you see any movies?
Yeah, go see Birth. It's a good movie.
What's that about?
Oh, it's got a thoughtful ending to it. You gotta sit and think about it a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you'll enjoy it.
What's it about, though?
The girl's husband dies. You know, well-to-do dies jogging, you know, and then a little boy comes into the picture and claims to be the reincarnated husband. And, you know, he knows a lot about the family and all that sort of stuff. So it develops from there. And the rest of it, you know, leads you up to an ending that, you know, you say, gee, you know, and it either hits you right away or it doesn't, you know. But I can discuss it with you after you see it. I don't want to take it away from you. Now, hold on.
Yeah.
Rosie, what else did we see? Oh, Ray was good.
That's about Ray Charles?
Yeah, it was a good movie. He did a good job.
Yeah.
What's his name? The black guy that did played his part.
Yeah.
He did a good job. He played, you know, he acted as a blind man for a while to really get the feel of it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx, yeah. It was a good movie. I didn't like After the Sunset.
Why?
Nah, cheap crap. You know, I just thought it to me it was just cheap crap. You know, just the phony type of picture, which I don't enjoy.
What was it about?
About a diamond thief, and his romantic involvement with this woman, and how they steal his diamonds. And it's just, you know, to me it was just a farce. I wasn't happy with it. Rosie liked it.
How about that the football movie?
Yeah, we saw that. Friday Night Lights?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what, you know, we lived that when we were in Borger, Texas. The attitude of the high school football coach and the teams and the parents—it's all very real, you know.
Yeah.
And it's a real story. I think it might even be a true depiction of some particular, you know, family or player.
Yeah,
but I would recommend that one. That's good.
It's all based on truth, I thought. No,
it is.
Right,
that's the way it is down here.
You know, the guy who made that used to live with me when I lived with Steve in Hollywood briefly. That guy Pete, who directed it, used to live with me.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we love you, and I miss you.
I love you too.
Okay.
There you go.
All right.
There you go. So I'd stay away from that movie. What was it? After Sunset?
Yeah.
Stay away from that one.
Did you call it a piece of crap?
A piece of crap. Yeah. That's my pops.
Oh.
Let's take a call. Stephanie in Michigan listening to WXX.
No, she's in Madison.
Oh, Madison, Wisconsin. I'm sorry.
Madison, Wisconsin.
How are you?
I'm the Madison Scouts. I know all about that.
Yeah. I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Very well.
I love you guys.
Thank you.
First of all, I want to say... I basically have two comments that tie together. The first comment is, I really was offended by the woman that called and told you to get with the program.
Right.
From the same book.
Right.
Because one of the things I think is great about Air America is that you have a real range of programs.
Sure.
People with different views and different approaches. You know, I like most of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'll listen to more than others.
Okay.
You're
being nice and diplomatic.
I'm being nice and being thoughtful.
Sure.
And I totally agree with you. I don't think people, if they have something critical to say, they don't have to be mean and sarcastic about it. You know, I mean...
Sure.
But,
yeah. You know, here on this show, we're trying to, you know, deal with news. We're trying to be entertaining. We're trying not to, to be dour all the time. And we're using satire as a means to get points across. What was the other thing you want to talk about?
The thing is, and this really ties in, because I think the woman's attitude is very, very Bush-like. And I think that, really, Bush's approach, when people really realize that, and they really think about it, Bush is a very weak man. He's an insecure, weak man.
He's the most insecure guy I've ever seen. Like, you watch him on TV, he's so self-conscious, it's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
He's like a six-year-old.
And I think this is going to weaken. He's going to be weakened even more. I don't know. I just I don't want to think about this guy imploding, but he's just has nothing for nothing but a world of trouble, and he's a very troubled man. I think this approach is going to make him. He's just becoming a monster, he really is.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think he's not only is he going to become a monster, but with this cabinet, with this echo chamber, with all these people that are doing nothing but telling him what he wants to hear, I'm frightened too, because out of that insecurity comes a type of hubris that's very dangerous.
Yeah, to everyone.
So I'm excited. I want to talk to Neil LaBute. I've seen a few of his movies.
But you know who you're going to have to talk to before Neil LaBute?
Who?
A gentleman by the name of Smalls.
Oh, is he calling?
I think he may be.
All right.
From Planet Bush. But
all right.
Our main guest
Not
Lawton Smalls.
That's
it's
right.
Neil LaBute. We've got all that and more when we continue here on Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
You can burn a few calories with this brain teaser from Cortislim. What do Stamford, Connecticut, Burbank, California, and the Cortislim lifestyle have in common? Here to tell us is Dr. Greg.
Well, the connection is that those cities each have a population of over 100,000 people. So, hypothetically, you might say that the entire population of, say, Abilene, Texas, not only ordered Cortislim one time, but ordered Cortislim again. And that doesn't surprise us at all, because over 100,000 reorders tells you that the Cortislim lifestyle, and that's managing everyday stress to create positive change, including your weight, along with proper diet, exercise, and Cortislim, well, it's working.
So when you hear that the number of customers who have reordered Cortislim is roughly equal to the entire population of Green Bay, ask yourself, wouldn't you be more comfortable stepping off the scale and into the Cortislim lifestyle this holiday season? It's as easy as calling 1-800-921-BURN. That's 800-921-BURN. Once again, 800-921-BURN.
Remember last year when you bought your wife a vacuum cleaner for Christmas? And gave Uncle Ed that bag of candy?
Oh, geez.
Not realizing he was allergic to peanuts. And then there was that rather inappropriate gift you gave your female boss.
You're fired.
Do it right this year and give the gift of Sirius. Everything for everyone for under $100. Available at Best Buy, Circuit City, Radio Shack, Office Depot, Walmart, or at Sirius.com.
This is Earthly Sky. Deep in the ancient forests of the Pacific Northwest, you might find a spotted owl.
Until 1990, when these owls were listed as endangered, many scientists feared that logging would cause their extinction. Spotted owls are very territorial, and each pair uses many large ancient trees. The trees utilized by one pair of owls have an estimated value of about $8 million.
Rocky Gutierrez at the University of Minnesota studies these owls. He said spotted owls can't be moved to forests with less commercially valuable trees because they've evolved under very precise environmental conditions.
People think that why can't the owl adapt? I mean, they have wings, why can't they fly someplace else? It's the complexity or the structure of the forest that's the key issue for an owl inhabiting that site. That is, there are multi-layers in the canopy which provides a lot of shading, provides a lot of perches, and when you get that high canopy closure, it reduces the amount of understory or shrubs in the forest so that the under part of the forest is easy for the owl to fly through.
For more with Rocky Gutierrez, come to earthsky.org. Thanks to the U.S. Forest Service and to the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation, we're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. 6. Name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
If you think of a library as that place where shh is the only thing you hear, think again. Many are being forced to cut back hours, reduce services, even close their doors. The time to support your local library is now. Contact your library to find out how you can help keep the doors open. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. For more info, visit the American Library Association at www.ala.org. We waste a lot of energy and money. Producing that energy consumes valuable resources and creates pollution. You can help by lowering your thermostat in winter and raising it in summer. Have your furnace and air conditioner serviced and cleaned. Turn your water heater down to 120 to 140 degrees. And check your refrigerator for leaky gaskets around the doors. Caulk, weather strip, and insulate walls, attics, basements, windows, doors, and pipes. These energy conservation tips are brought to you by the National Wildlife Federation.
Before past the hour, I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Yes, it is.
You're listening to Morning Sedition. I will be at Boston Comedy Club on 3rd Street this weekend working out some new stuff. If you'd like to come down and watch that process.
That's 3rd Street in New York City.
Yes, absolutely. It's on the links, morningsedition.com, if you want to do that. In Seattle, December 3rd and 4th, I believe, I will be taping a CD at Giggles Comedy Club. Man, the names of these places, huh? So come on down if you're listening in Seattle at 4:30 in the morning or 5:30, whatever time it is. Anyways, whatever character, since our president is openly operating in a different layout, wow. Man, it is the end of the week. Since our president is openly operating in a different reality, we think it's important that Americans know what's happening in his alternate universe. Luckily, we have a staffer who lives in that world. And once again, joining us now on the phone from Planet Bush, as usual, is correspondent Lawton Smalls. Good morning, Lawton.
Well, good morning, Mark. God's going to stick a fuse in your navel and blast a sin right out of your blowhole, buddy. It's a good day.
All right.
Hello. Well,
okay. Today we're going to talk about the opening of Bill Clinton's presidential library.
Who?
Bill Clinton, president in the 90s. Two terms, Bill Clinton.
Yeah, you know, I don't know him that. I don't remember him that
okay.
Well.
No, right.
I had other priorities. Small fella, right?
Oh, come on.
He looked like Montel.
Come on, Lawton. He was president of the United States. Bill Clinton was one of the most effective leaders of our lifetime.
Oh, okay, sure. I remember him now. He was the one that was controlled by his wife and who was a hermaphrodite.
Wait.
She had quite a large penis, as I recall.
No.
And she killed
people. Wait a minute.
Yeah,
Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton is not a hermaphrodite, and she did not kill.
Yes.
No, she did not kill anyone. Yes. And I know you remember Bill Clinton because he led this nation through 8 years of peace and prosperity.
Oh, well, Mark, if you're thinking of Ronald Reagan, whose bounty spills over us all to this day, I'm with you. Now, if this Chapman...
No, Clinton.
Whatever. if this character had any success at all, it was because of Ronald Reagan.
Oh, come on.
Who wrote the Constitution
and
who personally chose George W. Bush to be president after talking to God. It's in every book.
No, what are you, crazy?
Born in America, Star Wars,
Attacked Clinton. Listen to me. You attacked Clinton viciously for 8 years, and now you don't remember him. You just can't stand the fact that a Democrat was so successful, can you? And especially because W is such a complete failure compared to Clinton. Admit it. Lawton. You loved Clinton. You loved him. You loved him. Admit it. You loved Clinton. You loved him.
I miss my Bubba. I worship him.
Nobody
better than Bubba, and he's gone. And now we've got a moron.
Exactly.
He's a moron.
Yeah. And now that you think of it, you sound kind of like Clinton.
Hey, buddy. Oh, no. We had a surplus.
Let it out, buddy. Let it out.
We had peace and a surplus.
That's it. Good for you. Good for you and your breakthrough. That's good. Feel better?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Well, you know,
Yeah.
Who wouldn't miss Ronald Reagan?
Wait a minute.
He gave us the sun and the stars.
Wait
and the
a minute. We just had a moment.
You had a moment, my friend. I don't know what you're doing.
Well, great. Thank you, Wyden, as always.
We'll talk again. I'm going to straighten you out. God loves you.
All right.
Deal with it.
Here we go. All right. Thank you very much. Always a pleasure. Right?
Always.
In studio, sitting through our theater, is playwright, writer, and film director and film writer, all those things. His new book is called Seconds of Pleasure. His play, Fat Pig, starts November 23rd at the Lucille Lortel Theater in the West Village. Good morning, Neil LaBute. How are you?
I am swell. Thank you very much.
Now, what is the new play, Fat Pig, about, if we could start there?
Fat Pig is about a young businessman who starts dating a woman that he meets in a delicatessen, and she's a... Boy, how do you approach that? She's heavy.
Fat because it's in the title.
Because I'm trying to sound appropriate as opposed to my work.
She's
CMM has some trouble with it. Actually, the character has trouble with it, too. He says, you know, he goes through big boned and all of those things.
Right.
And but she's very... very straightforward about all of that. She's the first one to call herself fat. And in fact, the title comes out in the piece where she says that old adage of if you were sitting in a bar and your friend saw me across the bar and said, "Hey, look at that fat pig over there. Would you defend me or would you just laugh along?" And it's sort of about really kind of a study in weakness about, you know, how men, not only men, but men in particular have a difficulty sometimes standing up for what they believe in. It's easy to say, you know, I love somebody, but to actually show that is a much harder thing.
This is sort of similar to In the Company of Men in that, you know, these guys were businessmen.
Yeah.
You're careful to say, you're specific in that he's a businessman, and they had this situation with the woman who was deaf and the one guy who was falling in love with her and the other guy who was bullying his friend to, you know, do something horrible.
Right. Yeah. Well, I actually make reference to in kind of sly moments in the play where you get a sense that it's actually the same company.
Oh, really?
There's references to Chad and Howard working down the hall, and so it's that same atmosphere of business has always been interesting to me as a place to write about. I think it creates, it fosters a kind of a mentality, a kind of follow along mentality. It's all, you know, you remove the individualism, the humanity, and sort of just it's always goal oriented. Like we're pushing toward results. It's not about how you feel about something, it's whether you get it or not.
So on some level, is this about businessmen who are goal-oriented and sort of brainwashed to think in terms of business are grappling with the idea of objectification of women versus the idea of women as people?
No, where did you get that idea?
No,
you know what it is? I think that it's not, I don't think it's certainly isolated to that, because I think then an audience would sit back and go, well, that's not about me.
Right.
I want it to be really about the difficulty of having a relationship, you know, but I think there is I think the business environment can help foster that sort of mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a particularly rich place to write about for
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you drawn to making people look at perhaps the uncomfortable side of themselves? I mean, Seconds of Pleasure could be my life story,
mm-hmm.
if you could be told.
Mm-hmm.
But, actually, it's short stories, but never mind.
Well, maybe in the reprinting we can, you know, put your face on the cover and try and sell it in another way.
Yeah, right? But, I mean, it seems like that's something that is a recurring theme in your work.
Yeah, you know, for me, I'm really only interested in where the day takes me. You know, I find a set of characters, I find an idea. I'm not really one to kind of rip from my own life or from the headlines. I'm not very topical in that way, although I think something, again, like Fat Pig, is very much in the consciousness, the collective consciousness of we're all interested in our weight. And why is that? Because we've been told that it's, you know, interesting to look this way. You know, it would be best if we lose some of this or gain some of that. And so it has that sort of finger on the pulse, but it's not a kind of up to the moment dispatch on the weight wars. It's really ultimately about the guy who makes this arc of I have two worlds. I have a private world and a mm-hmm. public world, and how do I make those one? And I think that speaks to people outside of the world of this is my girlfriend who's heavy. It's, you know, anybody who can't kind of the term come out has now kind of been identified strictly with gay relationships, but I think anyone who's in a relationship, particularly a romantic relationship, who has difficulty letting the rest of the world know about that, whether it's, you know, mixed race or same sex or whatever it is. I think the idea of this is so lovely and great and you're the world to me, but the world is as big as my apartment. I can't really show you to anybody else. Then that's a really interesting thing to deal with on stage.
It's a shame element too, I guess.
Absolutely, yeah. There's a certain self-loathing.
All right,
let's
finish the conversation after this. We're talking to Neil LaBute. His new play is called Fat Pig. We're talking about weight, women, businessmen, and shame, I guess, is what we're going to talk about when we come back in a second.
Yeah, I'd like to be shamed if we have 15 minutes.
We have plenty of time.
You know what we can do? We've got a little bit of this. All right. We'll be back in a second with Neil LaBute.
Morning Sedition, on the air and online at morningsedition.com from Air America Radio.
Until recently, men have had only two options to improve their performance in the bedroom. Take a prescription drug that works quickly but only lasts for a few hours, or take a natural supplement that can take up to 4 weeks to work. But now there's a new option. In a recent medically supervised anecdotal study, over 96% of the participants who took Proton Extreme reported an increase in libido and erectile strength. Each participant was given a one-week supply. Some of the younger men had a response in just a few hours, others in just a few days. Regardless of your age, if you want to boost your libido quickly and naturally, then take the Proton test yourself. Results are guaranteed.
Call now for your risk-free supply. 1-800-399-6763. That's 1-800-399-6763. 9 out of 10 men have success with Proton. Now it's your turn. Call 1-800-399-6763. Again, 1-800-399-6763.
This Sunday night, if you're looking for a new episode of The Sopranos, you better just forget about it. Turn instead to the ABC Family original movie.
It was your grandfather's last request that you take over the family business.
Because the mob is getting the makeover.
Mob boss? I can't be a mob boss. I am a fashion student.
Starring The Sopranos' Dominic Chianese and 8 Simple Rules' Kaley Cuoco.
Forget about it. Forget about it. You talking to me?
Crimes of Fashion from your Sunday night at 8, 7 Central on ABC Family Channel.
Federal college loan rates are currently lower than they have ever been, which means by refinancing now, you could cut your monthly student loan payment by up to 50%. By calling 1-800-2-COLLEGE, you'll quickly be connected to College Loan Corporation. We will answer your questions, help you lower your payments, and secure a rate as low as 2.63%. It's easy, it's free, and so far, over 300,000 people have called. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
You wear his jersey. He's your man. Leaving the ground from the top of the key. Floating, flying, soaring. No one can hang with him. The ball is smothered by his hand, then crushed through the iron rim. One day he'll jump and just keep going in the thin air. Maybe that's how we'll finally leave the game.
The NBA on Sirius. Love it live.
How do you teach conversation skills to a toddler? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Start by kneeling down and making eye contact with your young child. Limit the amount of words you use and keep the message simple. Allow your toddler enough time to respond to what you've just said. Keep in mind that during these early years, you're teaching far more than word recognition. You're actually modeling for your toddler proper ways to communicate with future teachers, peers, employers, and perhaps their own family one day. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
You can have 20 million people around you all the time. When you don't have love for yourself, you're lonely.
Mary J. Blige, recording artist.
Drugs used to make me feel no pain at all. Once the feeling is gone, you're back to feeling like you're nobody. Love starts from inside you. I just accepted who I was.
I accepted Mary.
That feels the loneliness. When you really love you, it's a way of healing.
A message from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Hello.
Hi, Bill. This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving, and I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your butt, I think I found your butt in my front lawn. Cap, you recently lost it.
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Past the hour, it's Mark Maron. We're coming in for landing here. This morning's edition, that's Mark Riley.
Hi.
Neil LaBute is here, and we're talking to him. But right now, since all these cabinet openings, we know things are tough on the job market right now, so we've scanned through the classified ads and found this for a special Friday morning's edition job listing. The Bush administration seeks a discreet relationship with an open-minded Republican to run the Department of Energy. Again, we emphasize discretion. The people who form our energy policy will not reveal their names and do not want to know yours. They will enter your office each morning wearing feathered masks and give orders using a chalkboard and frantic hand gestures. At the end of the day, you will go back to your little wife and your little home, and you will tell nobody what you've seen and done here. If we ask you to open the Alaskan Wildlife Refuge for oil drilling, you must comply. If we give you nuclear waste to dispose, we do not wish to know where you put it. Perhaps we will ask you to wear certain clothes and do certain things. You shall wear those clothes and do those things and gaze upon us adoringly. Experience preferred in leading a double life. Ideal candidates will know the meaning of the phrase, "The dying leopard runs like fire through Shanghai." End quote there. Interested applicants can contact Gail in H&R. There you go.
All right.
Human Resources. Neil.
Yes.
Before I did something I do when I see a play with a friend, and I did it to you. I speculated about what your play might have meant intellectually. And I guess a question I've always wanted to ask is, do you do that when you write the play? Do you say, I'm going to cover these issues, I'm going to provoke this response, I'm going to make people say this about me?
I tend not to. I tend not to work from that place. You know, I'm not someone that it comes from the same place all the time. I don't look to the newspaper. I don't look to my life. It could be a title. In this case, it really was. I thought Fat Pig was an interesting title. Provocative. I mean, I've certainly provoked my fair share of audiences in the past, but that's not my main, you know. It's much easier to just do it. I wouldn't have to write a whole play. You just, you know, get on the edge of the stage and start yelling at them.
Right.
You know, or wetting yourself. I mean, that kind of thing. Yeah,
that sort of thing is
much easier.
Yeah.
That's not my sole goal, but and it's also not to, like, say, gosh, I want to deal with weight this time. I want to deal with race this time. It just often evolves, the theme, you know. Or someone comes to you and says, hey, that was such an interesting take on, and you go, oh, geez, I didn't even think about that.
But it seems also to me, as an artist, you are creating a career theme, you know, that you have themes that you seem to deal with consistently through your books and through your plays. And these things, you know, must come from a personal place on some level.
Well, certainly, yeah, you have some interest in things. I have found people, you know, human relationships, often heterosexual relationships, extremely interesting. You know, that's great fodder for, I mean, I'm not looking for that in life. I'm not looking for conflict, and yet I'm constantly starting a fight on page. You know, I'm saying, here's a respectable couple. Let's see what I can do to mess up their day.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I
watch
start.
The toys break themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what I set out to do. I mean, I'm asking people to leave their comfortable lives, come into this place, pay a lot of money, you know, when it's in New York in particular, and let me take 2 hours of your life away that you may well want again at the end of it. So I'm compelled to
but
make
you don't
it interesting.
Set up to, you don't set up to push people away.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't mind if they're reaching for their coats.
Yeah.
I just don't want them to leave,
okay.
You know, because I've lost the chance to, like, poke more fun at them.
Yeah.
Now, some critics call you a misogynist. Does that upset you?
I find it strangely comforting.
Oh,
you know,
an ice cube. Yeah,
I think, we do so much together. He's outside, actually, waiting for me. He's got a play date. you know, it's... it's one of those things that it was a label that this that hit early and stuck at Sundance. The first movie that I had was kind of where people sat up and noticed. I'd been working for a long time in theater, and I did this film in the company of men, and people, you know, there's so much material out there and kinds of people working. It's, you want to say, oh, he writes romantic comedies, he's a misogynist, he's whatever, and that's what stuck to that movie, which I actually thought was kind of wrong-headed about it. I think that traditionally, I've worked for, like, you know, not that many years, but for all the years of my career, I think the men have taken a much greater beating for me than the women ever have.
Do you believe that in relationships? I mean, there are only two genders, give or take a few ambitious people that are creative.
Yeah, there are a few fence walkers.
there are definitely, you know, sort of consistent points of contention and hostility and hatred and contempt and all those things. And I think that, you know, not to really sort of delve into that in the extreme ways that you have.
I would never fan that fire.
Yeah. But, like, as far as, you know, political correctness, I mean, I go out of my way on stage to, you know, to push those boundaries. I mean, how have you responded to...
That's completely your job. You know, the person who removes any facade of, I'm an actor, this is a play, you stand and make direct contact under your name, I assume, unless there's a name that I don't want to know about. I'm called Carla.
Yeah.
I go by Carla when I'm in Seattle. Yeah. I giggle. That's a really dangerous place because you're saying, like me, find this funny, but let me push your buttons, and removing all pretense of it being a fictional work.
Yeah.
I'm going out there and saying, look, I'm not speaking as the voice of a generation. I'm not saying this is how all men are or all women are. It just has to fall within the realm of possibility.
What do you think of political correctness?
I think it, you know, it has its place. You know, like all, you know, fascism, you know, is places hopefully not on our shores, but, you know, it might have actually been bred here. It's an interesting thing to think about, but in the wrong hands and used incorrectly, you can see over and over the kind of pain that it can cause.
Sure.
It doesn't mean that it shouldn't be there. But the problem is the name. I'm not sure that it's always correct.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, New York is, I guess, certainly a theater town, if there is one in this country.
Right.
How difficult is it for you to stage a work here?
You know, having worked in both film and theater, it's a relief when you go back to the theater because in a way you kind of think, oh my gosh, I'm going back to what's pure about it. We're working with actors, working with a script. I'm not guided by just how much money this thing costs and how much time. You know, now with this additional pressure of your father watching my film, I'm not sure I can go back. But it's hard for people, I think, who are filmmakers and they're dealing with the way that I express myself costs $100 million. You know, that's a lot of pressure that goes on to the creation of something that we might call art, where you've really got a lot of people around you going, yeah, art's cool, but we'd love to make a lot of money. They're happy to make a good movie, but they want to make a successful movie more than anything. But in theater, you know, it still comes down to economics. You get a lot of great young writers out there who are constantly getting readings because theaters can't afford to put them up.
Take a chance.
Yeah, and you got it's like you go. I was not kidding before when I say I feel compelled to be interesting when I know someone's paying $100 a seat to go see something. That's, you know, it's not, they're not coming over to the house and, oh, you know what, I wasn't that funny at dinner. Too bad. You know, I gave them dinner.
Right.
It's like when they go and see a show, they're expecting to be taken away from the ordinary. I'm not a documentarian. I'm trying to tell them, and especially when you're dealing with stuff that's been done to death. Here's another relationship story. And like, oh, my gosh.
Right.
So it better be interesting.
Well, some people go just for, so it's not interesting. Because they
want me to fail. I'll pay $100 to see him fail.
Well, they want consistency with, you know, what they think theater is. But what I want to know real quick, not so quick, you've worked with Aaron Eckhart over and over again.
Yes.
And Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
And in a few seconds, what about those two actors, you know, that you like so much?
You know what? I'm faithful. I met them both in college.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, there's a certain strand of friendship that runs through that because it's a very, as you would know, it's a very nomadic life.
Sure.
You know, you go and make these little families for a short period of time, and then it falls apart because that's the end of that experience for them, and they go off. And so it's nice to go back and work with somebody who you both admire their talents, but you have a friendship with.
And you've grown up with together.
And they also are particularly kind of American guys. And I've written about a kind of American male. And I also have a very strong interest in you know, attractive people saying unattractive things.
Nice.
It unsettles an audience in a way.
Well, thanks for talking to us, Neil.
Oh, pleasure.
Really appreciate it. Good luck with the show.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to go. Can I go see it?
I'm probably have to draw the line there.
Yeah, it's
$100.
It's called Fat Pig. It will be at the Lucille Lortel Theater in West Village on November 23rd. It opens. There's our fast machine with the liberal agenda. Here are your marching orders for today, folks, and for the weekend. One, protest Kmart's Sears merger. We don't know why yet. Just seems wrong. Two, derive smug pleasure from the blank stares of your uninformed friends as you talk at length about the crisis in the Ivory Coast. Three, take a group of school kids to see National Treasure, then talk to them afterwards about the dangers of Freemasonry. Four, visit the Clinton Library in the Oval Office replica. Find the exact spot where Bill and Monica killed the Democratic Party. Five, today's phrase is dropping into conversation. First, old dirty bastard dies, and then Bush makes Condi Secretary of State. Connect the dots, people. Do I have to do everything, man?
Oh.
What do we got Monday?
On Monday, we have got former United States Senator Gary Hart joining us. It ought to be fun. Have a good weekend, man.
You too, Riley.